ശ്രീശുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അശോത്രശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാനന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദ വിശുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അശോത്രശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദ് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദകി രാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർ കി സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദകി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാ കൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട് രാധാകുണ്ട് ഗിരിഗോവർധാനികി വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാം കി
ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്ധസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീളിതാം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലെ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാന്തികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണ രഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനാസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണ ലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാംശ്ച ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമിനി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി ആശാദ്യാദേശതാരിണേ നമോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി നാമിനേ ശ്രീവർഷഭാനുവിദേവി ദൈതായ കൃപാബ്ധയേ കൃഷ്ണസംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ഗായിനേ പ്രഭവേ നമഃ മാധുര്യോജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗഭക്തിത ശ്രീഗൗരകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീ മൂർത്തയേ ദീനതാരിണേ രൂപാനുഗവിരുദ്ധാവസിദ്ധാന്തദ്വന്ദഹാരിണേ നമോ ഗൗരകിശോരായ സാക്ഷാത് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ വിപ്രലംബരസാംബോധേ പാദാംബുജായതേ നമഃ നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനേ ഗൗരശക്തിസ്വരൂപായ രൂപനോ ഗൗരായതേ ഗൗരാവിർഭവഭൂമേസ്ത്വം നിർദ്ദേഷ്ടാസജനപ്രിയ വൈഷ്ണവ സർവഭൗമ ശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായ ദേ നമഃ വംശകൽപ്പതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ നമോ മഹാമദന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമപ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യനാമേ ഗൗരദ്വിഷേ നമഃ പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാത്വികം ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ ജയതാം സുരതോപാംഗോർ മമ മന്ദമദേർഗതി മത്സർവസ്വപദാം ഭോജോ രാധാ മദനമോഹനവും ദിവ്യവൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാദൌ ശ്രീമന്ദരസിംഹാസനസ്ഥൌ ശ്രീരാധാശീല ഗോവിന്ദദേവോ പ്രേഷ്ടാലിഭിഃ സേവ്യമാനോ സ്മരാമി ശ്രീമന്രാസരസാരംഭി വംശീവടതടസ്ഥിത കർഷൻ വേണുസ്വനേർഗോപേർ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്രേയേസ്തു നഃ തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസ്തുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ ജയ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാമ, രാമ രാമ ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ, കൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ, കൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണി ഭഗവതീ അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അമ്പ ത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി. നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഉല്ലാരവിന്ദായതവത്ര നേത്രം യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപം പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകപാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ. സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത്. വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും. ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുലാം. അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സുതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദി കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജ സരോജമമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാബോധിതം. ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ ലഭീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ. മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദ മാധവം. യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്ര രുദ്രമരുത സ്തുന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സ്തവൈർ വേദൈ സാംഗപദൈർ ക്രമൗപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തി യം സാമഗാഃ. ജ്ഞാനാവസ്ഥിതദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. So, the two chapters we read at the end yesterday, particularly that 10th chapter, is the Tattvam in the Ekadasham. That's why it's a very important chapter, the 10th chapter. You can see that till now, Krishna has spoken to Uddhava what is called Dattatreya Gita, isn't it? Dattatreya's teachings to Yadu. That is what Krishna has taken and spoken that to Uddhava. So, similarly, there are several other Gitas also in the Ekadasham. In order to develop this Sneha Nirasam. Sneha Nirasam means that excessive attachment at different places in the world. Asha Nirasam, that means desires building up in the heart for various things. Similarly, Bandha Nirasam or Sangha Nirasam, that means unusual, developing unusual attachment at different places in the world, all these things. This is what has been spoken till now. snehanirasam, how to minimize this attachment in all places, with other relationships or with objects, whatever it may be in this world, because sannyasa means all these things. To minimize the attachment at all places. And similarly, desires also, to bring it down, the desires, to bring it down desires. Or somehow the other, sangam. You will see this word sangam everywhere. Bring it down, the sangam or attachment. And if attachment builds up in anybody, it should be only for Krishna. That's the way it is. Attachment may be there sometimes, but if our attachment builds up in the heart, that should be directed towards Krishna, nobody else. And similarly, sangam, if sangam is there, sangam towards Krishna. Similarly, if any desires builds up inside, it should be connected with Krishna. In that way, the desire should build up. So, it is an important thing that, and for this purpose, whatever that is necessary, you will notice this when you study these four, Dattatreya Gita, Hamsa Gita, Aila Gita and Bhiksha Gita. You will notice this one thing, that very difficult to drive away all the attachment from inside to in this world, is it not? To completely become totally disconnect from everything is difficult. But if there is any attachment building up inside, it should be always towards Krishna. That should be the way it should happen. Every other place, if you develop attachment, you can expect distress at the end. There is no question about that. This is why rishis have given special importance to this one principle. And that is why what Krishna has done, Krishna has collected all these stories. These are also the Dattatreya Gita. It is between Dattatreya and Yadu. And Hamsa Gita, between the Kumaras and Hamsam. And similarly, Bhikshu Gita, between the Bhikshu and Bhikshu singing the song after he was heavily offended and criticized by the people. A lot of things to learn from all these things in our own life. And as much as possible, if you translate that, what they have to tell us, that will benefit us in our spiritual life. And similarly, Aila Gita, between Puriravas and Urvashi, what happened to Puriravas? Isn't it? So, Krishna has collected all these four Gitas, and they were, Krishna has actually repeated that which was sung by others. For example, Dattatreya sung this song, Dattatreya Gita, what we have seen, the 24 spiritual masters. Similarly, Aila Gita was sung by Puriravas, and similarly, Hamsa Gita was sung by the Hamsam while talking to the Kumaras. And the Bhikshu Gita was sung by Bhikshu. So, they were all great personalities. The Bhikshu, Hamsam, Ayala and the Dattatreya. So, what they have sung, Krishna has repeated that to us. Saying to us, why did he do like that? That, and this is the practical nature of Ekadasha Skandam. Ekadasha Skandam is very practical. Suppose we are given some examples what happens in another world, it will not be as effective as something what has happened in this world. Is it not? That is why it makes it more interesting. In Ekadasha Skandam, when you study, every example given is what's happened here. And through them, you can easily relate with that. Because if something spoken from another world, it becomes, say, something happened in Sutalam or Padalam or in somewhere else, we are completely out of picture with that. So, and when it is spoken from this world, it is easily digestible. We can easily accept it. It has happened here, in that way. So, the great devotees, they say like this about Ekadasha Skandam, that this practical side of Ekadasha. Then, even if you, I know it is not easy to understand Ekadasha. It is very complex. And it is a very difficult thing, what to talk about, realizing it. even to understand it properly, it's difficult. But just by hearing these verses in the Ekadasham, it's beneficial. Just by hearing it, even the verses alone. And you will see that it has a considerable effect on us when these verses are sung. It's not like even the other verses in the Bhagavatam. Ekadasham's verses has some speciality that when you keep on hearing it for a long period of time, it will keep on reminding you about this world. Don't get involved. That breakup will come from that. That is the beauty of Ekadasham. That if you keep listening to Ekadashaskandam verses, after a long period of time, you yourself start feeling this inside, that there is not a lot to be concerned about here in this world. And that means the necessary vairagyam or renunciation and detachment, and also places where attachment is required, that also, and without excessively attached, getting attached, all these things, this Ekadasha Skandam in Srimad Bhagavatam is capable of providing that. Everything that Krishna has quoted here is all the thoughts that's come to us in our life in this world. Look at the Dattatreya, for example. What did he do? All that he has quoted is everything from this world, isn't it? He's looking at all around and saying that I have learned this from Prithvi, from the earth, from the air, I learned this. From the sky, I learned this. And from the water, I learned this. From the fire, I learned this. First, he started with the five material elements. Prithvi, Vayu, Akasham, Apam, Agni. Then he, the two witnesses of all our activities, sun and the moon. He quoted them. I learned from moon this, I learned this from the sun. Then the Kapoda birds, which we spoke about yesterday. So, giving examples which are not connected with this world, it is very difficult sometimes to understand and to have any effect on us. But when we look at through Dattatreya's eyes, like Dattatreya Maharshi has spoken, then you can learn this properly from the 24 spiritual masters. So, point is that what if this, the Dattatreya Maharshi says here, actually this world will teach us this lesson very well. That all the teachers, what we require in this world, provided the person has got good discrimination inside and also good observation power, then he will learn from this a lot of things from very world where we are living now, isn't it? So, interesting thing is, when Krishna created all these things, he himself says that the required things for his shreyasa, shreyasa means for his own ultimate benefit, it's already provided here. We are not to think that in this world it is not possible to make any spiritual progress. When Krishna created us, he has also provided all the necessary ingredients in this world for us to make spiritual progress. It's already there. So, and it was not at all Krishna's intention, let me put them into this maya and let them suffer here forever in that way. But instead, looking at the prakriti itself, material nature itself, observing Krishna's presence in different elements and different objects, and to able to appreciate that and to recognize it, and from that learning a lesson of developing spiritually. This is what's expected of us. But if we deliberately break up ourselves from the nature and go our own way, what Krishna can do about it? Krishna can't help us there, isn't it? Krishna created the material nature in such a way that is why in the ancient times, if you look back history, you will see that all the great advanced devotees, jnanis, they lived in line with the nature. From nature they learned things, and using the very material nature, they made the progress in spiritual path also. So, and one by one, they looked at the material nature and saw the different entities here. And also, they realized that they are all indicating to the same living force which is present inside us. which is present inside. For example, when they looked at the sun, they saw Krishna present there. It is due to Krishna's presence the sun planet is shining. And it is Krishna's presence that we are functioning in this body. Eventually, they all come to this one realization, there is only that Atma or that presence of the Chaitanyam or the living force that is present here. Nothing but the living force. It is that living force activating everything, whether it's sun or the moon or the fire or the air or the water. All the different qualities what you find in every different elements is nothing but the presence of Atma in them. And that very Atma is present within us as well. This is how the rishis have connected that. They saw Krishna is present in every element in this world. And they notice also Krishna is present within us, from keeping us, this body also going. That is why they call it as Samashti and Veshti. In Veshti like this, Samashti in all the whole creation, in that way. So, that this capacity to identify this presence of Krishna in all the living entities, in all the material elements, and the presence of Krishna within us, that capacity to sense that and to act on that basis is only human body has got that capacity. Human body has got that capacity. You see that verse what he says there in the 10th chapter. If you look, not in the 9th chapter, sorry. Deham Gurur Mama Virakti Viveka Hedu Vibrasma Sattva Nidhanam Sadadat Udarkam Sattvanyanena Vimrishami. 25th verse. Yatha Tathapi Parakyamitavasito Vicharam Yasangaham. After talking about the 24 spiritual masters, Dattatreya Maharshi is saying that Deham Gurur Mama Virakti Viveka Hedu, this material body itself has taught me a lesson. We all learn lesson from this very body, isn't it? That is intelligence. Huh? That this deham, what it has taught me? It has taught me don't depend on this body. That's what it has taught me. Deham Guru. It is a spiritual master for me. If you trust this body, you will be cheated. That's what it's saying. Deham Guru. And therefore, what did it teach me? Deham Gurur Mama Virakti Vivegam. Both. Virakti means detachment and Vivegam. Because the way the body acts in this world is like this, that it will, if you are intelligent, you will know that you can't put your faith on this body. Isn't it? Krishna says that in so many places you will notice this statement coming. Krishna says, why do you trust this body so much? This verse Krishna is asking like that. Why do you trust this body? And that will come in the next chapter. He says, Akhadam Niyamanasya Vadyasyevana Tushtida. 20th verse in the next chapter. But anyway, Deham Gurur Mama Virakti Viveka Hedu. And Vibratma Sattva Nidhanam Sadadat Yudarkam. How Prabhupada calls it as the best use of a bad bargain. That's how he says about this body. The best use of a bad bargain. We are not success in this deal. We are failures. But all you can do now is to salvage what you can from this situation. And to that extent you can take advantage of this body, because body is teaching us something. Therefore it's worthwhile. Otherwise you know this body. Yesterday we read those verses about the body, what it says. Is it not? That Yadasti Narmidam Vamshavashyam Stunam Twajar Omanakai Pinadham Sharan Navadvara Magaramedal Vidmutra Vurnam Madhubaidiganya. That body is like this. There is nothing this body is worthwhile appreciating here. But still there is something to learn from the body. That is the lesson. About the body, it is not the same way like Pingala has spoken. Pingala spoke in one way about the body. That verse. Dattatreya is saying in a different way. Dattatreya is saying that Sattvanidhanam sadadatyudarkam. That sattvanidhanam, that the body is, even though it has got a lot of problems in there, in this body, there is some good things also about this body. What is that? Virakti viveka hedu. It is creating detachment. So why should I ignore the body? And it's also creating discrimination in me. I realize that body is ultimately going to say goodbye to me one day. So, and that is why he's saying here that two verses later, of course those verses we have spoken before, labdhva sudurlabhamidam bahu sambhavande manushyam arthadam anityam abhihadiraha turnam yadetadade padet anumrtyayavel nishrayasaya vishaya khalo sarvadasyal. That even though body is like that, all that thing is completely related to body, he's talking about. Nishrayasaya vishaya khalo sarvadasyal. Krishna is saying, labdhva sudurlabhamidam bahu sambhavande. Getting a human body is a very rare thing. We think that, oh, it's not difficult, there's 5-6 billion here. Why worry about it? No, it's not. Labdhva sudurlabhamidam, to get a proper human body is a difficult thing. And manushyam, arthadam, anityam, abhihadiraha. And it is a temporary thing. It's not a permanent facility. And human body. And after going through different bodies, we have come to this body. Certain things in the Bhagavatam, it is worthwhile reading again and again and again. It will give you it will take you out of this illusion about this body. Like in the third canto, when Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi about the body, about the birth of this body, isn't it? In the 30th or something chapter in the Kapilam. When you read through that, you can see that when we have got this human body, we really don't appreciate it, what Krishna has given us. And what we have committed to Krishna while we were within the womb of the mother, what we said to Krishna. And when we come out, we completely lost it. What promises we have made before, Maya has taken over again. So, you will see in the verse before that, how this body was developed. Srishtva Purani, Purani, Vividhani, Ajay Alpa Shaktiyam, Vrikshan, Sarin, Sripa, Pashun, Khagadamsha Malsyan, Taisai, Adushtakradaya, Purusham Vidhaya, Brahmava Lokadishanam, Udamava Devaha. The verse that is 28. Brahma had to work very hard to get this human body developed. It was a development in Brahma's research work. Brahma did so much research. He created so many different kinds of bodies. You can see in the creation process, all kinds of bodies he has developed. And finally, when he created human body, he felt a certain happiness within him. Why? Srishtva Purani Vividhani Ajay Alpa Shaktiyam. And the lists there. Vrikshan, Sarin, Sripa Pashun, Khagadamsha, Malsyan. After developing all the different kinds of body, Taisai Adushta Kadaya, Purusham Vidhaya, Brahmaval Okadishanam, Udama Badevaha. That he noticed one thing, that the mix was so good with the human body. All the senses, the mind, the intelligence, and the material elements, everything mixed well. So when human body was created, Taisai Radushta Kadaya Purusham Vidhaya Brahmava Loka Dishana. That Brahmava Loka Dishana, ability to think about a higher principle in life, that's called Brahmava Loka Dishana. Brahmava Loka Dishana means a vision in us to look beyond this life in this world. That is Brahmava Loka Dishana. Normally people don't think. They are busy with what happens in this few years in this world, isn't it? Whatever little we can make here, this is a success for them as far as they are concerned. But Bhagavatam is saying that Brahmava Loka Dishanam Udamava Deva, that Brahmava Loka Dishana, that is called that discriminative power. that to look at this world and to see the temporary nature of this place and start thinking, why put all the energy into this, something which is not even worthwhile at the end, which you are going to lose anyway. So is there something beyond all this life? That thoughts have developed in the rishi's heart so deeply that they came out with the answer. That is why they are saying like that. Srishtva Purani Vividhani Ajay Alpa Shaktya Vrukshan Sarin Sripa Pashun Khagadamsham Alsya Antaistai Adushtakdaya Purusham Vidhaya Brahmava Logadishanam Udamava Devaha. So this Dishana, Brahmava Logadishanam, only human body has got that. Nobody else has got it. That means only in our mind we can think about there is a life after death. Animals can't do that, isn't it? None of the animals can do that. And they can't even imagine that. They are just busy with their daily life, getting the food, place to sleep. Well, the four things, aharam, nidra, bhayam, maithunam. They can't go beyond than that. That's the way they are structured. We are structured in a different way. In our mind, we can imagine about things and able to see a little bit more deeper into the life and to understand it, that there is a reaction for our activities. If we disturb the material nature, if we react with other living entities in a wrong way, that will come back to us. All this understanding is not there in the animals. Animals fight each other and they forget also straight away. Completely different than the way we are, isn't it? We are only able to keep it for a long, long period of time. The enmity and the fight nature. So other living entities don't have that, what we have got. That is what he is saying here. Brahmava Lokadishana Udamava Deva. So when Brahma created all other living entities, he didn't feel any satisfaction from that. Till he created the human body. What is that? Virakti Viveka Hedu. Detachment and discrimination power, both are there, and because they are present in us, that Dishana, Brahmava Loka Dishana, is there in the human body. So, in this way, for our thinking capacity and our thoughtful nature, for that, Krishna is providing us all the ingredients necessary for you to utilize in your thinking nature. For example, if you take Bhikshugita, Bhikshugita's, that person's nature, the Bhikshu's nature, is very much there in many, many people, isn't it? To a large extent, it is there. So, bringing that Bhikshu's example in front of us, Krishna has told us that, look, this is how it happened to Bhikshu. And it can happen to you. It can happen to you also. In this way, making us more able to connect with the life in this world, and therefore warning us that, look, how, because money is such a thing, easily to get attached to so strongly that, and then it becomes the whole goal of life, making money. Is it not? Very easily to fall into that trap, that the whole purpose of life is to make money. That trap easily one can fall into. So to take us out of that, Krishna is telling us, look, artham, you should see it in this way, wealth. You should see the wealth in this way. That it is there and it has got these problems associated with that. If you go after that, you will be disappointed one day. It will create problems like the way it happened to Bhikshu. So it's just a warning for us. Same way, in Ailagira, what happened? Puriravas got excessively attached to Urvashi. And Urvashi's beauty and attractions have directed Puriravas to forget about everything in the world. Like when you get completely enamored by money, how you forget all other principles in life. Similarly, when you get excessively attached to sense gratification, particularly opposite sex, man to woman or woman to man, whichever way it is, how that can degrade us in this our life, and you can be distracted from the goal. What happened to Puriravas? Puriravas, Krishna is saying, Puriravas is the senior member of his own family, isn't it? From the lunar dynasty, it begins from Puriravas. And son of Buddha, also very intelligent person. In spite of highest intelligence, in spite of the highest birth, what happened to Puriravas? Imagine that. And Puriravas, one day when he woke up from that illusion, how Maya takes over. When he woke up from that illusion, the song he sung, and that is Ailagida. And what did he say in that Ailagida song? You can see, look, I wasted all my life in this way. So one day he woke up to the reality. So practical example to tell us that this can happen to us if you go in that direction. So like this, warning us every time that to move away from this, move away from wealth, move away from sense gratification in that way. So, but after giving all these instructions, right in front of us, but still if you don't look at it and accept it, what the reality is, and waste the time still in the wrong direction, and that is what was spoken in the 29th verse. See that? Labdhva sudurlabhamidam bahusambhavande manushyam artadham anityam apihadhiraha turnam yadedanabaded anumurtiyaval nishreyasaya vishaya khalu sarvadasyal. That simply living in this world just to enjoy life, and wandering around with this slogan, life is meant to enjoy. It's a very strong slogan, spoken everywhere, especially when you are in the youth, isn't it? Even if you say anything to them, they will not get into their head. They will say to us, life is meant for enjoyment. And if you don't enjoy this life, you won't get another chance. This is the only chance you have got in this way, isn't it? So, so Krishna is saying, if you do not turn this life for self-realization or Krishna consciousness, that what happiness are you going to get at the end? That's what he's saying here. So you can keep on saying, I'm happy, but in fact, even the material happiness he wouldn't get from this world. That's the way Krishna says. Even the material happiness, you won't have it in this world.
See that?
Closing that chapter, he says, avadhuta vachas shrutva purvesham nasa purvaja sarvasanga vinirmukta samachitto bhabhuvaha.
Hearing the Dattatreya Maharshi's words,
Krishna is saying this. Shri Bhagavan Vacha, he says, avadhuta vachas shrutva purvesham nasa purvaja, our ancestor Yadu, referring to that, sarvasanga vinirmukta, he gave up attachment everywhere. Samachitto bhabhuvaha, got himself established in the equal vision. And that is other important thing. And in the next chapter, actually those chapters are full of nectar for one who is interested in spiritual life. Some of the things what Krishna is saying there, that you can see there, first he talk about Varnashramam, and Anyuksheda Vishuddhalma Dehinam Vishayalpanam Guneshu Tattvadhyanena Sarva Arambha Vibhajayam. That unless one has some connection with the Tattvam, and spoken about the Tattvam, Suptasya Vishayaloke Loko Dhyayatova Manoratha Nan Almagatva Dhivala Tada Bhedalpa Dhir Gunai. Krishna is saying that Suptasya Vishayaloko Dhyayatova Manoratham, that it is very easy to get victimized by the mind. Mind will dictate to us so many things from inside. Isn't it? Suptasya Vishayaloka Dhyayatova Manoratham. And you will notice one thing, wherever Krishna gets an opportunity, he is telling us, don't trust your mind. Let me notice that. In this 10th chapter, 28th chapter, and in several other places also, you will notice the same thing repeated. If you are trusting your mind, you are lost. You are finished. And that is what happens to almost everybody in this world. We trust our mind. Isn't it? Suptasya Vishayaloko Dhyayadova Manoratha. When he began Ekadasham, in the 7th chapter also, he started like that. Isn't it? Tundasavam Bharitija. There you will see after that. Another verse. Straight after that he said, what did he say about the mind? He said, mind is nothing but, gives an explanation to that. Yeah. He says there, Yadidam manasa vaja chakshurbhyam shravanadibhi നശ്വരം ഗൃഹ്യമാണാം ച വിധി മായാമനോമയം മായാമയം മനോമയം. Everything that comes from the mind is Maya. Never to trust this thing called mind. You will notice the same way Krishna has spoken about the mind at different occasions. That Yadidam Manasa Vaja Chakshubhyam Shravanadivi. Mind works in conjunction with the senses. Is it not? So, we see something, we hear something, Chakshubhyam Shravanadivi. And mind starts interpreting that this is good, this is bad, in that way. But what is their real nature? Nashwaram. They are temporary. Vihyamanamcha vidhi. Know this very well, he said. Maya manomayam. That is mayamayam and it is manomayam. That's why he's saying that. Maya manomayam, he says. Then, pumso ayuktasya nanato brahmasak gunadoshabha karmam agarmam vigarmedi. All these things are under the three modes of material nature. Therefore, you can't accept them as the in any way. So, having said that in the 7th chapter, if you look in the 28th chapter also, Krishna says again about the mind. So, why Krishna is saying this to us repeatedly about the mind? Because you know, mind is like that. The very nature. Fighting the mind is not easy, isn't it? So, in the 28th chapter, he is saying here, Kim badram, kim abadram va. Dvaidasya vastuna kiyal vajodidam tad anardam manasa dhyadam evacha. From the mind it has come. So, badram, abadram, right, wrong, good, bad, who created all this? Mind is created. Mind is saying to us, he is a good person, he is a bad person. The mind is saying us. And that itself is dvaidam. That is dvaidam. And kim badram, kim abadram va. And if this dvaidam, where does it come? Avastuna kiyal. When it is not the reality, that is where dvaidam builds up. Isn't it? In Alma, you can't have dvaidam. Dvaidam is only when you are talking about avastu, which is not about the vastu. Avastuna kiyal. And then about avastu, vajodidam tad anardam. Everything what you are talking about avastu is anardam. It is full of lies. Manasodhyadam evaja, that you have built up within your own mind and you are speaking about that. There is nothing good here, nothing bad here. This is Krishna's point. So, Ekadasham is like that, that Krishna has given some strong reference to the mind's nature and how the mind will trap you into different situations in this world. And it is through the mind this attachment built up. Sangam came through the mind. Sneham came through the mind. Sneham, what we have talked about, the Tatra Gita, and Sangha Nirasam, Asha Nirasam, Sneha Nirasam, all these things has happened from that. And finally, Krishna is also saying, it is a interesting thing to think about. He is saying there, if you look at that 10th chapter, what he is saying there,
യാവത്സ്യാൽ ഗുണവൈഷമ്യം താവതീശ്വരദോഭയം യ ഏതൽ സമുപാസീരം തേ മുഹ്യന്തി ശുചാർപിതാഹ 32 യാവത്സ്യാൽ ഗുണവൈഷമ്യം താവന്ധാനാത്വമാൽപന നാനാത്വമാൽപനോ യാവൽ പരതന്ത്രം തദൈവഹി യാവത്സ്യാൽ ഗുണവൈഷമ്യം When there is ഗുണവൈഷമ്യം, the three modes of material nature, it's വിഷമാവസ്ഥ. വിഷമാവസ്ഥ means that when they are not balanced properly within us, suppose one predominates over the other, then Vishamavastha, it comes. For example, if Rajogunam predominates over Sattugunam and Tamogunam, we will act in a different way. Similarly, if Tamogunam predominates in us, we will act in a different way. Similarly, when Sattugunam predominates, it will act in a different way. Is it not? Sattval Sanjayade Jnanam. Sattugunam will facilitate for development of knowledge. Rajogunam will facilitate for development of work, action, man of action. That is Rajogunam. It's not Satogunam. So, and similarly, Tamogunam facilitates in a man ignorance. Ajnanam, total ajnanam, avidya, completely. Always in a very docile state, not knowing what to do, and always complaining about everything in this world. A life like that. So, Krishna is saying, Yavatsyal Gunavaishamyam. When this Gunavaishamyam happens, Tavan Nanatvam Almana. You will see Nanatvam in the same one soul presence everywhere. And Nanatvam Almana, when you start seeing Nanatvam, Paradandriyam Tadevahi, you have to feel that dependency, and also you feel that you are controlled by the material nature. You feel that control of the material nature, that's a paradandrata. Paradandrata means to be dependent on somebody. Actually, the self is not dependent on anyone. It is totally independent by nature. Swarad, it said in the beginning, isn't it? So, yavadasyana sudandratvam tavad ishwaradobhayam ya edal samubhasiram te muhyandi shucharpidaham. That nature, that yavadasyala sudandratvam. For example, a person, you have put him into a prison. He's going to be hung. It's already decided on such and such a date. Say, for example, today is, 17th of April. He's going to be hung on the 1st of May. A person is going to be hung on the 1st of May. And the judges informed him that you are going to be hung on the 1st of May. And the day before that, when the execution happens, this is quite normal. The day before that, the jail, the prison officer or warden tells this man that tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock, is your, you're going to be executed. You're going to be hung. Do you have any desire in life? You want to eat something very special thing in life? You want to enjoy something particularly you're fond of? He said, and you brought all the foodstuff in this world for him to enjoy what he likes or whatever it may be. Will he be attracted to that? Will he be attracted to that? Therefore, there won't be any desire to enjoy anything at that time. Isn't it? Yavadaswal asvadandratvam tavad isharado bhayam. Similarly, our so-called situation is like that in this world. Is it not? Krishna has told us that you're going to be hung one day. And he has given us the date also very soon. Don't know how long, but it could be 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, maybe next week or today. No, nobody knows, isn't it? But it is hanging on top of our head that you're going to go one day. And the moment the prisoner has come to the prison, it's been decided that he is going to be hung. So, and that decision has been taken, and the time is passing through. Krishna says a thing. Krishna is saying to us that your life in this world is very similar to that prisoner in the prison. There's not a lot of difference. That in the prison, when he is being executed, he is given a time and date when he is going to go. Similarly, we are also given a time and date, but only thing, we don't know it yet, when exact date and time. But we know it's happening. It's coming. It's on its way. Isn't it? So, and for such a person, Krishna is looking at us and saying, how do you are able to enjoy this place, he's saying, when it is like this? And you're just talking about enjoying here. What kind of mentality is this, he says. Uddhava asked the same question to Krishna. You remember? Shuava karam shukarajavad. It is in one of those verses, he asked this question. He was also, when Krishna said this, Uddhava was also affected by that. Uddhava started thinking, it's not much different, isn't it? He said, animals when they go to slaughter, they are also like this, he said. There's not much different. Shukhara Javad. Yeah, if you look at the 13th chapter, 8th verse. Vidarndi martya prayana vishayan paramabadam tadavi bunjade Krishna tal katham shukhara Javad. Shuava kharam ajam. Not much different than that, this mentality, isn't it? You're going to be slaughtered one day, and you're not bothered, still thinking, can I enjoy a little bit? And they give the example of the goat, particularly, when the goat is being taken to slaughterhouse. On the way itself, if you see some grass or something to eat, again want to eat that. Not thinking that, it doesn't know that it's going to be killed in a few minutes or hours' time. still able to find some happiness out of this world. We are not much different than that. Uddhava is saying there about it. So, so after saying that, he says here that how this mentality has come, and he says there. So before that death happens, that all what we have of our own to say here is the self, the Atma. If you can say something, it's your own. It is the Atma, nothing else. Body is not yours. Mind is not yours. Intelligence is not yours. This all go its own way. And you will lose it at the end. And if you have not come to that realization now, then you will feel very depressed and miserable at the time of death. So, body is considered to be like a prison. We have got into this prison, isn't it? And here, we are living in this body, totally dependent on the body, and at the same time, no freedom to do anything independently. The living being inside is completely stuck in this body. It's controlled like a prison house, isn't it? So, Krishna spoke about that, that a person who is bound within his own body, he's talking about that in the few verses there. You will notice that. In which way you can be bound in this world? There is a one or two verses there. And then he spoke about the two birds sitting on the tree. And Krishna says there, it is the Upanishad verse taken and put it there. Suparna vedo sadrashav sakhayav. Sixth verse. Yadrache yedo kritanidauja vrikshe egastayo khadade pipalanam anyu niranovi belene buyal. Almanamanyam jasaveda vidwan apipalado nadu pipalada yo avidyaya yuksadu nityabaddho vidyamayoya sadu nityamuktaha. That these two birds sitting on the tree, which is the Upanishad birds, is Dva Suparna Saija Sakhayam. So that same example brought here, Paramatma and Jivalma, the two birds are sitting on the tree. In reality they are one, they are not two. In reality they are only one. But Jivalma separated itself from Paramatma. It separated itself from Paramatma and for temporarily he came out from Paramatma. And when Jivalma feels that he is separated from Paramatma, that is bondage. That is a bondage state. It's like that. Then if he is able to remain with Paramatma all the time, dissolved in Paramatma, that is liberated state. That is the liberated state. That means the two wings of the bird, what are they? Jnanam and Vairagyam. To fly, we need the two wings, Jnanam and Vairagyam, with which we have to fly to come back to the Paramatma. So, the moment you feel your both the wings have been cut off, then that is the bondage state. That is the bondage state. And once you have got these both things, both wings working very well, Jnanam and Vairagyam, if that has come, that is the liberated state. That is the liberated state. So, in this way, Baddhavastha, bondage state, and the liberated state, Krishna has spoken in those two verses. What does that mean? Bondage state and liberated state. Bondage state means absence of these two. Neither knowledge nor renunciation. When there is knowledge and renunciation, you are in the liberated state. Because you feel that oneness of the individual soul with the Paramatma. So, and then another, these are just the essence of those verses. Then if you look at the 9th verse, you will see there, 19th verse, that he given another person's misery in this world. Gam dugda doham asatin jabharyam deham paradhinam asal prajam cham vittam tvatirtikranam anga vajam heenam maya rakshati dukha dukhi. Who is miserable in this world? Krishna is saying, who is the most unfortunate person in this world? He's giving an example there. What are they? Gam dugda doham asatincha bhairyam deham paradhinam asal prajam cham. That you're keeping a cow doesn't give you any milk. You're feeding the cow well, looking after the cow, everything. And why? Cow doesn't have any calves. It didn't have any calf. And if you have to look after that cow whole life, that's not very nice, is it? That you have to spend all your energy in looking after a cow. But the cow doesn't have any calf, it doesn't give you any milk. What's the use of having a cow like that? Gam dugda doham. And then he says, you got a wife, but the other way also, don't misunderstand. Krishna, of course, in the way it is spoken, it is applies to both sides. That you have a wife, but we will say like the way it's spoken in the Bhagavad, but it does mean the other thing as well. You won't get any happiness from that wife, except lifelong misery. If it happens like that, what's that life? Krishna is asking. Asat. Asatincha bhairyam. She's a asat. And then Krishna is saying, deham paradhinam. Even if you think that you are going to get some happiness out of this body, even that is not true. Why? It is paradhinam. Paradhinam means that it is controlled by so many people, isn't it? The employer controls you from 8 to 4. It is under his control, the body. You have to do what he tells you to do. You have to leave home, go there to work. And so that is paradhinada. It is paradhinam, it is. Similarly, wife and children are demanding so many things. You've got to provide that. Paradhinada. Again. And deham paradhinam. And added to that, the body is also giving various problems, taking your energy away in different directions. So body is paradhinam always. It is its own problem, and other people are expecting from this body certain degree of happiness in this world, and therefore it is always under the control of so many other people in this world. You may think you are independent, but actually you're not. All the time you're controlled by others, isn't it? So, that's one thing. Then, look at this. Asal prajam cha. They got children. But they will not listen one word what you tell them. Krishna is saying, your misfortune, that's all I can say. That's Krishna's answer to that. That is, asal prajam cha. If they are not listening to you, and you are thinking that, oh, they are my children, then that is your misfortune, he's saying. Asal prajam cha. And then, vittam to tirthigradam angam. Vittam to tirthigradam anga vajam heenam maya rakshati dukha dukhi. This is a lot of money. But it is all in Panama account and other places like that. You can't use it. Because if you bring it out, you'll be in trouble. Only thing is, it's there, you can keep thinking it's there. And you're gone from here. So many people, you can see this, very wealthy people, they have accounts in Swiss banks. And they die and go. Nobody knows about it. And that's why their economy is thriving at the end. How? This is how it happens. The people who have kept the money there, they can't take it out and use it for any purpose. Because then it becomes a problem from the government. Government will tax people and all other people will give them trouble. But all only consolation they have is the money is there in the bank. Krishna is asking, what's the use of that money? You can't use it. Son, what's the use of that? Vittam tadirti egradam. And then, if all these things have happened to a person in life, which one? Gam dugra doham asadinja varyam deham paradinam then asal prajamcha vittam tadirti egradam. If all this situation has happened, there is one option still left. Angavajam heenam maya rakshati dukha dukhi. Then only thing what is left for you is your tongue. And if you don't talk about Krishna with this tongue, heenam maya rakshati, and he is talking all nonsense in this world, such a person, Krishna says, he is not only dukhi,
Dukkha Dukhi, he is saying. He is the most unfortunate person in this world. After given a human body and human birth and an opportunity for self-realization, instead of utilizing for that purpose, he has gone and wasted his energy in all the other nonsensical things in this world. But all what he has got now, he is caught up in this life. Somehow or the other, people get caught up like that, isn't it? With the money, with the children, with the family, with the wife, with everything, and with the body itself. That means, basically Krishna is saying that your wealth is also useless, your family is also useless, and your body is also useless. On the ultimate level, they are all useless. They are all creating bondage for you. It's not giving you any freedom. The only last thing, word you have, or freedom you have, is to talk about Krishna with your tongue. Even that also, if you use it for talking nonsense, what's the use? And that person, Krishna says that, he's the most miserable person. Gam dugda doham asadinja bhairyam deham paradhinam asal prajam cha vittam tadurti gridam angam vajam heenam maya rakshadi dukha dukhi. He is the most unfortunate person in this world. He says like that. And then finally, he says here that he is the person who is suffering mostly in this world. In this world. And in order to make us aware of that, Krishna is right now talking about the glory of satsangam. That's the next thing he did. Straight away, he turned into satsangam. And he says there, Krishna says, association with the devotees and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from them regularly, there is nothing more that will inspire you to come out of this mess. That is how he puts it. Because, and Krishna says there, among those people who have talking about the qualifications of the qualifications of the devotees, Krishna says there that he started like this through this satsangam, how different people from different backgrounds, they got benefited from that and took advantage of that from satsangam. And in that chapter, in that is the next chapter about satsangam, the person Krishna most favored and most important he consider in satsangam, and the example for that were the gopis. Were the gopis. Purely through satsangam, they reached that state. Krishna's point is that. Purely through satsangam, they got to that state. That's why gopis are spoken about that. So, we'll just read through those two chapters and then we'll come back to that.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Dvadashodhyaya Shri Bhagavanu Vaja Narodhayadimam yogo nasankhyam dharma evacha naswadhyayastabasyago ishta apurtanja dakshina pradani yatnya chandamsi tirthani nema yama yathavarunde salsanga sarvasanga apaho himam salsangena hidaideya yadudana mriga khagaha gandharva apsaraso naga siddhascharana guhyakaha vidyadhana manusheshu vaishya shudra astriyondhyaja rajastama prakritayastasmin stasmin yugenakham Bahavo Malpadam Prapta Swashtakaya Dhavadaya Vrishabarva Berevano Mayaschada Vibhishana Sugrivo Hanuman Rasho Gajo Grudro Vanikpada Vyadha Kubja Braje Gopio Yatya Vatyastadha Pare Tenati the Shudigana Nobasi the Mahatamaha Avrada Taptadabasa Salsanga and Mamuba Gadaha Kevala Enehibhavena Gopio Gavo Naga Mrgaha Yeni Mudadio Naga Siddhamami Ranjasa Yamna yogena sankena dana vrata tapo dhvare vyakhya swadhyaya sanyasai pratna yadhyatna vanabhi ramena sarthum madhyam pranide shavalkina mayanirakta chitta vikada bhavena name vyoga tivradhayonyam dadrushu sukhaya tastakshaba prashtadamena nida mayaiva vrindavana gocharena chanardhavata punirangata samhinam maya kalpasama bhavum Navidan Mayanu Shangabada, Tiestom Alpa, Namadastadhidam, Yathasama, Homeneyobdidoe, Nadia Pravishtam, Ivanamarupe, Malkama, Ramanam Jarama, Suruba Vidobella, Brahmam Paramam Prabhu Sangha, Chadasahasrasha. చోదనాం ప్రతిచోదనాం ప్రవృత్తం చ నివృత్తిం చ శ్రోతవ్యం శ్రుతమేవ చ మామేకమేవ శరణం ఆల్పానం సర్వదేహినాం యాహి సర్వాల్పభావేన మయస్యాల్ అకుతో భయ. ఉద్ధవ ఉవాచ సంశయ శృణదో వాచం తవ యోగేశ్వరేశ్వర న నివర్తతే ఆత్మస్థో యేన భ్రామ్యతి మే మన. శ్రీ భగవానువాచ స ఏష జీవో వివర ప్రసూది ప్రాణైన ఘోషేణ గుహాం ప్రవిష్ట మనోమయం సూక్ష్మవేత్య రూపం మాత్రాస్వరో వర్ణ ఇది స్థవిష్టాః. యథానలఖే అనిలం బిలంధురుష్మాం బలేన దారుణ్యధిమధ్యమానం అనుప్రజాదో హవిషా సమిధ్యదే తదైవమే విక్రియం హి వాణి. ఏవం గది కర్మగదిర్విసర్గో ఘ్రాణోరసో దృక్స్పర్శశ్రుతిశ్చ సంకల్ప విజ్ఞానమధాభిమానం సూత్రం రజసత్వతమో వికార. అయం హి జీవస్త్రివిద అబ్జయోని అవ్యక్తమేగో వయసా సమాధ్య విశ్రేష్ట శక్తిర్ బహుదేవ భాది బీజాని యోనిం ప్రతిపద్యయద్వల్. యస్మిన్నిదం ప్రోదమశేషమోదం పటో యథా తంతువిధాన సంస్థ ఏష సంసారదరు పురాణం కర్మాత్మకం పుష్పఫలే ప్రసూతే. ద్వే అస్య బీజే శతమూలస్త్రినాళం పంచస్కంద పంజరస ప్రసూతి దశైకశాగో ద్విసువర్ణనీడం స్త్రివల్కలో ధివలోర్కం ప్రవిష్ట. అతంది జైగం ఫలమస్య కృద్ర గ్రామేచరా ఏకమరణ్యవాస హంసాయమేగం బహురూపమిజ్జై మాయామయం వేద స వేదవేదం. ఏవం గురుపాసనేక భక్త్యా విద్యా కుఠార్యన శిధేన ధీర వివిశ్య జీవాశయమ ప్రమత్త సంబద్ధజాల్మానమదత్యజాస్త్రం. ఇది శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాపురాణే పరమహంస్యాం సంహితాయాం ఏకాదశ స్కందే ద్వాదశోధ్యాయ సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం. గోవింద గోవింద. ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ. త్రయోదశోధ్యాయ శ్రీ భగవానువాచ సత్వం రజస్తమ ఇది గుణాబుద్ధేర్న చాల్మన సత్వే అన్యతమౌ హన్యాల్ సత్వం సత్వేన చైవ హి సత్వాధర్మో భవేల్ వృద్ధాల్ పుంసో మల్భక్తి లక్షణం సాత్వికో వాసయా సత్వం తదో ధర్మ ప్రవర్తతే. ధర్మో రజస్తమో హన్యాల్ సత్వవృద్ధిరనుత్తమ అశు నశ్రీదన్మూలో అధర్మోభయే హతే. ఆగమోవ ప్రజాదేశం కాలకర్మజన్మజ ధ్యానం మంత్రోద సంస్కారం దశైదే గుణహేతవ తత్తల్ సాత్వికమేవేషం యద్యల్ వృద్ధా ప్రజక్షదే నిందంది తామసం తత్తల్ రాజసం తదుపేక్షితం. సాత్వికాన్యేవ సేవేద పుమాన్ సత్వవివర్ధయే తదో ధర్మస్తదో జ్ఞానం యావల్ స్మృతిరపోహనం. వేణు సంఘర్షజోవన్య దగ్ధ్వా శామ్యది తద్వనం ఏవం గుణవ్యత్యయజో దేహ శామ్యది తల్క్రియ. ఉద్ధవ ఉవాచ విదంది మర్త్యాప్రాయణ విషయాన్ పరమాపదాం తదా విభుంజనే కృష్ణ తల్కథం సుఖరాజవల్. శ్రీ భగవానువాచ అహమిత్యన్యదా బుద్ధి ప్రమత్తస్యేదా హృది ఉల్సర్పది రజో ఘోరం తదో వైకారికం మన. రజోయుక్తస్య మనసా సంకల్పసవికల్పక తదకామో గుణధ్యానం దుస్సహాస్యాది దుర్మదే. కరోది కామవశగ కర్మాణ్య అవిజితేంద్రియ దుఃఖోదర్కాణి సంపశ్యన్ రజో వేగ విమోహితాః. రజస్తమోభ్యాం యదపి విద్వాన్ విక్షిప్తధీ పున అతదింద్రో మనోయుంజన్ దోషదృష్టిర్న సజ్జతే. అప్రమత్తో అనియుంజీత మనోమయ్యర్పయన్ శనై అగ్ని అనిర్భర్ణో యథాకాలం చిద శ్వాసోచిదాసన. ఏదావాన్ యోగమానిష్టో మచ్చిష్యై సనగాదిభి సర్వదో మనమాకృష్య మయ్యద్ధావేశ్యదే యథా. ఉద్ధవ ఉవాచ యదాత్వం సనగాదిభ్యో యేన రూపేణ కేశవ యోగమానిష్టవానేదద్రూపమిచ్చామి వేదితం. శ్రీ భగవానువాచ పుత్రాహిరణ్యగర్భస్య మానసా సనగాదయ పప్రచ్చో పితరం సూక్ష్మాం యోగస్యైకాంతికీం గతిం. సనగాదయ ఊచు గుణేష్వావిశదే చేదో గుణశ్చేదసి చ ప్రభో కథమన్యోన్య సంత్యాగో ముముక్షో అతిథిదేర్షో. శ్రీ భగవానువాచ ఏవం పృష్టో మహాదేవ స్వయంభూర్భూత భావన ధ్యాయమాన ప్రశ్నబీజం నాభిబద్ధ్యత కర్మభీ కర్మధీ సభామ చిందయదేవ ప్రశ్నవారదితి దీర్షయ తస్యహం హంసరూపేణ సకాశమగమం యద. దృష్ట్వా మాం త ఉపవ్రజ్య కృత్వా పాదాభివందనం బ్రాహ్మణ బ్రహ్మాణమగ్ర కృత్వా పప్రచూ కో భవానిది ఇత్యహం ముని విపృష్ట తత్వ జిజ్ఞాసుభిస్తదా యద వోచమహం తేభ్యస్తదుద్ధవ నిబోధమే. వస్తును వేద్య నానాత్వం ఆత్మన ప్రశ్నమీ దృశ కథం ఖడేదవో విప్ర వక్తుర్వామే క ఆశ్రయ. పంచాల్పకేషు భూదేషు సమానేషు చ వస్తుత కో భవాని దివ ప్రశ్నోవాచారంభో హ్యనర్థగ. మనసా వచసా దృష్ట్యా గృహ్యదేన్యైరభీంద్రియై అహమేవ నమత్వన్యం ఇది బుద్ధ్యద్వమంజస గుణేష్వావిషదే చేతో గుణశ్చేదసి చ ప్రజా జీవస్య దేహముభయం గుణశ్చేదో మదాల్మన. ಗುಣೇಶು ಜಾವಿಷಚಿತ್ತಮೀಷ್ಣ ಗುಣಸೇವೆಯ ಗುಣಾಶ್ಚ ವಿಚಿತ್ತ ಪ್ರಭವಾ ಮದ್ರೂಪಂ ಉಭಯಂ ತ್ಯಜೇ ಜಾಗ್ರಲ್ ಸ್ವಪ್ನ ಸುಷುಪ್ತಂಚ ಗುಣದೋ ಬುದ್ಧಿವೃತ್ತಯ ದಾಸಾಂ ವಿಲಕ್ಷಣೋ ಜೀವ ಸಾಕ್ಷಿತ್ವೇನ ವಿನಿಶ್ಚಿತಾಹ ಯರ್ಹಿ ಸಂಸೃದಯ ಬಂಧೋಯಂ ಆಲ್ಪನೋ ಗುಣವೃತ್ತಿಭಿ ಮೈಥುರ್ಯೇ ಸ್ಥಿತೋ ಜಹ್ಯಾಲ್ ತ್ಯಾಗಸ್ಥಲ್ ಗುಣಚೇತಸಾಂ ಅಹಂಕಾರಕೃತಂ ಬಂಧಂ ಆಲ್ಪನೋರ್ಥ ವಿಪರ್ಯಯಂ ವಿದ್ವಾನ್ ನಿರ್ವಿದ್ಯ ಸಂಸಾರ ಚಿಂತಾ ತುರ್ಯಾಂ ತುರ್ಯೇ ಸ್ಥಿತಸ್ತ್ಯಜೇ ಯಾವನ್ನಾನಾರ್ಥದೀಪಂ ಸೋ ನ ನಿವರ್ತೇದ ಯುಕ್ತಿಭಿ ಜಾಗರ್ತಭಿ ಸ್ವಮನ್ನಜ್ಞ ಸ್ವಪ್ನೇ ಜಾಗರಣಂ ಯಥಾ ಅಸತ್ವದಾಲ್ಪನೋನ್ಯೇಷಾಂ ಭಾವಾನಾಂ ತಲ್ಕೃದಾಭಿದ ಗದಯೋ ಹೇದವಶ್ಚಾಸ್ಯ ಮೃಷಾ ಸ್ವಪ್ನದೃಶೋ ಯಥಾ ಯೋ ಜಾಗರೇ ಬಹಿರನಕ್ಷಣಧರ್ಮಿನೋರ್ಥಾನ್ ಭುಂಕ್ತೇ ಸಮಸ್ತಕರಣೇ ಹೃದಿತಲ್ ಸದೃಕ್ಷಾನ್ ಸ್ವಪ್ನೇ ಸುಷುಪ್ತಂ ಉಪಸಂಹರದೇ ಸಮೇಗಂ ಸ್ವತ್ವನ್ಯಯಾ ತ್ರಿಗುಣವೃತ್ತಿವಿದೃಗೇಂದ್ರಿಯೇಷಾಂ ಏವಂ ವಿಮೃಶ್ಯ ಗುಣದೋ ಮನಸಸ್ತ್ರವಸ್ಥ ಮನ್ಮಾಯಾಮೈ ಕೃತಾಮಿತಿ ನಿಶ್ಚಿತಾರ್ಥ ಸಂಚಿದ್ಯಹಾರ್ದಂ ಅನುಮಾನಸ ದುಕ್ತಿ ತೀಷ್ಣ ಚಾನಾಸೀನಾಭಜತಮಾಖಿಲ ಸಂಶಯಾಧಿಂ ಈಕ್ಷೇದ ವಿಭ್ರಮವಿದಂ ಮನಸೋ ವಿಲಾಸಂ ದೃಷ್ಟಂ ವಿನಷ್ಟಂ ಅತಿಲೋಲಮಲಾತಚಕ್ರಂ ವಿಜ್ಞಾನಮೇಘಮುರುದೇವ ವಿಭಾದಿ ಮಾಯಾ ಸ್ವಪ್ನಸ್ತ್ರಿದಾ ಗುಣವಿಸರ್ಗಕೃತೋ ವಿಕಲ್ಪ ದೃಷ್ಟಿಂ ದದನ್ ಪ್ರತಿ ನಿವರ್ತ ನಿವೃತ್ತ ತೃಷ್ಣ ಸ್ತೂಷ್ಣೀಂ ಭವೇ ನಿಜ ಸುಖಾನುಭವೋ ನಿರೀಹ ಸಂದೃಶ್ಯದೇ ಕುಜ ಯದೀದಂ ಅವಸ್ಥಬುದ್ಧ್ಯಾ ತ್ಯಕ್ತಂ ಭ್ರಮಾಯನ ಭವೇಲ್ ಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಆನಿಭಾತಾಲ್ ದೇಹಂ ಚನಶ್ವರಂ ಅವಸ್ಥಿತಂ ಉತ್ಥಿತಂ ವಾ ಸಿದ್ಧೋ ನ ಪಶ್ಯತಿ ಯದೋಧ್ಯಗಮತ್ ಸ್ವರೂಪಂ ದೈವಾದಭೇದಮುದ ದೈವವಶಾದುಭೇದಂ ವಾಸೋ ಯದಾ ಪರಿಕೃತಂ ಮುದಿರಾಮಥಾಂದ ದೇಹೋಭಿ ದೈವವಶಕಂ ಖಲು ಕರ್ಮಯಾವಲ್ ಸ್ವಾರಂಭಕಂ ಪ್ರತಿಸಮೀಕ್ಷತಮೇವ ಸಾಸು ತಂ ಸಪ್ರಪಂಚಂ ಅಧಿರೂಢಂ ಸಮಾಧಿ ಯೋಗ ಸ್ವಪ್ನಂ ಪುನರ್ದಭಜದೇ ಪ್ರತಿಬುದ್ಧವಸ್ತು ಮಯೈದು ದುಃಖಂ ವೋ ವಿಪ್ರಾ ಗುಹ್ಯಂ ಯತ್ ಸಾಂಖ್ಯಯೋಗಯೋ ಜಾನೀತಮಾಗತಂ ಯಜ್ಞಂ ಯುಷ್ಮಧರ್ಮ ವಿವಕ್ಷಯ ಅಹಂ ಯೋಗಸ್ಯ ಸಾಂಖ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಸತ್ಯ ಸರ್ತಸ್ಯ ತೇಜಸ ಪರಾಯಣಂ ದ್ವಿಜ ಶ್ರೇಷ್ಠ ಶ್ರೇಯಕೀರ್ತೇರ್ಧಮಸ್ಯ ಚ ಮಾಂ ಭಜಂತಿ ಗುಣಾ ಸರ್ವೇ ನಿರ್ಗುಣಂ ನಿರಪೇಕ್ಷಕಂ ಸುಹೃದಂ ಪ್ರಿಯಮಾತ್ಮಾನಂ ಸಾಮ್ಯ ಸಂಗಾದಯೋ ಗುಣ ಇತಿ ಮೇ ಚಿನ್ನ ಸಂದೇಹ ಮುನಿಯ ಸನಗಾದಯ ಸಭಾಜಯಿತ್ವಾ ಪರಯ ಭಕ್ತ್ಯಾ ಗಣದ ಸಂಸ್ಥವೈ ತೈರಹಂ ಪೂಜಿತ ಸಮ್ಯಕ್ ಸಂಸ್ಕೃತ ಪರಮರ್ಷಿಭಿ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಯಾಯ ಸುಖಂ ದಾಮ ಪಶ್ಯದ ಪರಮೇಷ್ಟಿನ ಇತಿ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವತೇ ಮಹಾಪುರಾಣೇ ಪಾರಮಹಂಸ್ಯಾಂ ಸಂಹಿತಾಯಾಂ ಏಕಾದಶ ಸ್ಕಂದೇ ತ್ರಯೋದಶೋಧ್ಯಾಯ ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಗೋವಿಂದ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ಸ್ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸ್ಪೋಕ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದಿ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಇನ್ ಬಾಂಡೇಜ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಇನ್ ಲಿಬರೇಷನ್ ದಟ್ ವೈಲ್ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಬಾಡಿ ಟು ಬ್ರೇಕ್ ಅಪ್ ದ ಕನೆಕ್ಷನ್ ವಿತ್ ದ ಬಾಡಿ that is the purpose of all these things that while living within this body the living entity has to break up the connection with the body which is also called as jivan mukta state while living if you are not liberated from this body there is no such thing called liberation after death that is the way it is presented here Whereas we are all living in this illusion that everything is after death going to happen to us, isn't it? If it has to happen, it has to happen now. Right here, in this body itself, connection must be broken with the body. Many people, it won't be appealing to them if you say that. They like another place, liberated state, not here. Here, maximum enjoyment and their liberation, both. Win-win situation. Isn't it? That's what everybody likes it. Here also great time, there also great time. What Krishna is saying here, work here to be happy there. That means if you don't make it here happen, there's nothing after that to think that it's going to happen somewhere else later. If it doesn't happen here. And there is logic behind that. That if the subtle body is not gone here, if you have a subtle body while dying, it is more or less definite that you will have another gross body again. That's the proof of that. If you have a subtle body, before you die, if you are not killed that subtle body, gross body will die and go, that doesn't matter. But subtle body, if you are not killed it before death, it is absolutely sure that subtle body will create another gross body for you again, which means the same miseries will start once again. So therefore, If you feel that the liberation has not... Liberation means this, that subtle body has broken away. The living entity has broken away with the gross and subtle body completely. Dehasthobi na dehastha. Vidwan sapnan yadotida. Adehasthobin dehastha. Kumadi sapnadrakiyatha. He says. That's the verse here, isn't it? So this is what that means. Dehasthobi na dehastha. While living within this body itself, you have to free yourself from the body. And that means subtle body is gone. If subtle body is the one which is connecting you with the gross body, is it not? All your identification is in the subtle body with the gross body. All your vasanas are in the subtle body. All your prarabdham is in the subtle body. So, if everything is wiped out, then subtle body is completely gone, then the connection is also gone with the self and the gross body. Very important principle. Very logical, is it not? What Krishna is saying. Is that not logical? I mean, to imagine something, there is life after death and everything is going to be fantastic there, later. From Krishna's viewpoint, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, that's all just an imagination in your own mind, that something is going to happen after death. But the logic is this, that if subtle body is your whole black box or whatever you want to call it, that which is controlling this development of a new gross body, and if that subtle body is not completely destroyed here, which means mind, intelligence, false ego, and chittam, vasanas, all together. Manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam. These are the four elements in the subtle body. If they are not completely gone, then naturally if it is there while time of death, that is the one which is transmigrating to another body, carrying the soul to another place, isn't it? So it is from that Krishna is saying this to us, dehastho bina dehastha. So, and in order that, to kill that, destroy that subtle body, satsangam is necessary. Krishna is saying there like that. So, and he says that, if you look at that chapter, see how he begins that chapter. That itself is very interesting. The 12th chapter.
Marodhayadimam yogo na sanghyam dharma evacha na swadhyayam tapasya tyagam ishta apurtam na dakshina.
None of these will help that person. Narodhayadimam yogo na sanghyam dharma evacha ashtanga yogam sanghyam dharmam swadhyayam tapasya tyagam ishta apurtam dakshina. None of them will help him. And he says, vradam austerity is yatyam chandasa tirthani niyamam yamam yatha avirunde salsangam sarvasangopahohimam. That sarvasangopahohimam, of all the things, salsangam alone will develop in a person to free himself from this bondage. He is saying there. So Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, as far as I have understood, that's how Krishna says, as far as I understood that, and in a daily life, in an experience level, that there is nothing better than salsangam. Salsangam is the best, he's saying there. That, and then all that good qualities he has spoken there, all the good qualities that's been spoken, that you can easily take it, get it in satsangam. You can get that from satsangam. Why? Because in satsangam, you will hear about them, and if you find those qualities in others, you can easily take it on board. It's a much easier way of taking it on board, rather than performing all other things in life. So, important point here, instead of practicing it and developing it, the easier method is to associate with people who have got that quality. Is it not? That's the easiest thing. If you develop association with people who have the qualities like that, then that will help easier. That will be a lot easier than you are trying to develop it on your own. It will work out better that way. And Krishna spoke about lot about that in the many verses after that. And then he gave the example of those, Sugriva example. What qualities, qualifications Sugriva had? If you look at Ramayana, you will see Sugriva's situation was a disaster, actually. Every level, he was in a problem. So Sugriva's life, then Anjaneya Swami, Hanuman's life, how it has changed in their life. And Jadayu, the bird, those things. And many even birds have benefited from Salsangam, Krishna is saying here. So, after saying a number of people there, you can see there that Salsangena Hiraideya Yadudhana Mrigaha Khagaha Gandharvaha Apsarasaha Naga Siddha Charana Guhyagaha Vidyadraha Manusheshu Vaishya Shudra Striyo Andijaha Rajasthama Pragadaya Tasmin Yuge Anaha. Then Bahavo Malpadam Prata Tvashtra Kayadhavadaya Vrishaparva Beli Bana Mayaschada Vibhishana. All great personalities, Mahavili, Banasura, Vibhishana, Maya, Sugriva, Hanuman, Rikshav, Gaja, Gajendra, Gridhram, the eagle, Vanik Padaha, Vyadha, Dharma Vyadha, Kubja, the lady who had Trivakra, Vraje, and finally Krishna says, Vraje Gopyo Yajnabhatnya Sadhabare. Yajnabhatnya is the Brahmana women who performed the sacrifice of those women, how they made the advancement when the Brahmanas didn't make it. They made the advancement. Gopis also. Vraje Gopyo Yajnabhatnya Sadhabare. And then after saying a number of people from different backgrounds, Vaishya, Shudras, Rakshasas, Gandharvas, Kinnaras, Charanas, and also Mahavali, Bana, Vibhishana, and everybody. Dharma Vyadha, all kinds of people Krishna has listed there. Finally, he is saying there about gopis. Krishna considered gopis has taken the maximum advantage of Salsangam, gopis had. Gopis took advantage of that. And while talking about gopis, Krishna is saying that there was something special about gopis. What was that? Tena adhida shudiganaha nobasida mahatamaha. Avrada tapta sabasaha salsangan mam ubhagadaha. Only through salsangam gopis gone up in their life. Te nadhida shudiganaha. They never studied Vedam, did they? Gopis didn't study Vedam. Te nadhida shudiganaha. No vasida mahatamaha. That they have not performed any kind of austerities or penances or served anybody in that way. Then avradaha, if you look into austerities, what austerities gopis have done? The only thing what is mentioned in the Bhagavadam is the Kartyayani Vradam. 41 days or so they have performed that. That is also, you couldn't say that it was such a great austerity in that sense. And avradaha tapta tapasaha salsangama vagadaha. That they have not performed any kind of penances or austerities like the way the rishis have performed. But purely through salsangam, they made it. Purely through salsangam, they made it. They didn't study Vedantam. They didn't go to Gurukulam. They didn't engage in any kind of upavasam or penances. Gopi didn't have anything like that. Their only wealth was satsangam, salsangam. And what was that salsangam they had? Krishna. Krishna was the salsangam, isn't it? Krishna is not mentioning here, oh, I am the supreme personality of Godhead. Therefore, they got the... No, association. Because Krishna is the sajjanam. He is the satsangam. Satsangam is Krishna. Krishna is the satta, isn't it? So, sangam is that. That means, why did he say like that? Because satsangam and association with Krishna is very similar. Satsangam and association with Krishna is very similar. There is not a big difference. The reason being, more than association with Krishna, association with Bhagavadam is more important. Krishna gives importance to that. We'll understand it better with an example for this way. The sun is very hot. Imagine, the sun is very hot in the sky. Say midday, 12 or 1 o'clock in the night. You go and stand in the sun. And even if you stand there for half an hour, nothing is such serious thing going to happen. You can probably take it. Even in the hot sun, say, sometimes you can see in the hot weather, say 38, 40 degrees, 42 degrees. There are people, today also you can see, I'm sure it is there all over, hot weather is there. In India you'll still see people still walking on the street in that temperature. They know, they don't get affected by it to that extent. They'll consider that for half an hour, 45 minutes walk is not going to cause any problem. They will survive through that. Especially school children, you look at the school children, nowadays it's a little different, but many years ago, school children had to walk long distances, and they didn't care about the midday temperature getting so hot. It didn't affect them at all. And similarly, many young men who are working in the field, for example, in the agricultural field, when they are working, in the very hot weather, they can work in the field. They were not affected by that. They were doing the work. Probably they will cover their head from the heat, but they'll continue working in the hot weather. What is that showing to us? That directly underneath the sun, it is not causing a problem for a long period of time working there. Instead of doing that, suppose you went to a seashore or riverbank, and the sand that is there, it has got very hot. And if you start walking on the sand, you will complain straight away, I can't do it. Krishna is saying, it is like that. Association with Krishna and association with Satsangam, the difference is this. That you can handle the heat directly from the sun. But you can't handle the heat when you have to walk through the sand when it's very, very hot. Isn't it? So, but the fact remains that the sand got hot from the heat from the sun. See that example? That the sand gets hot from the heat from the sun. But you are unable to bear the heat from the sand, but you could bear the heat directly from the sun for a longer time. Isn't it? So, and faster than the sun, the sand will burn us. The heat from the sand. Similarly, Krishna is present everywhere, isn't it? Krishna is present everywhere in the creation. But among devotees and jnanis who have been affected by Krishna, they will burn you more than Krishna himself. That's the principle. That is why he is saying like that. Narayodhayati mam sankhyam, mam yogo, na sankhyam na uddhava. Na swadhyayam tapasyagam ishta apurtancha dakshina. All those verses. None of them are as powerful as those who are affected by Krishna. So association's importance is coming from that. That is how Krishna Salsanga means talking about the sattva, soul. There is no other discussion. It's not a place for joking and making jokes and entertaining people. Serious topic it is. It is meant for serious discussion. The way Krishna has presented in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam of the message of the soul. And that is what to be discussed in the satsangam. And those who are taken seriously on board, by hearing from them, you will also feel the same effect in us. Just like the way you are affected by the sand. Affected by the sand. That is why that example is spoken here. Then Krishna says to Uddhava that if you follow this process, you'll be able to experience it faster than any other process. And in that way, he glorified Salsangam there. But this is one thing Krishna has spoken here. Another interesting thing. He says to Uddhava, Uddhava, don't get too much involved in the good and bad. What is good and what is bad? And what is vidhi and nisheda? That means do's and don'ts. What you are allowed and what you are not allowed. Don't get involved into that too much. Sometimes you can see devotees also get into it too much. Isn't it? Do's and don'ts. And gets driven by that. That's also not a good thing. He says here, instead of getting absorbed in all these things, he says that sarvalpana yahi, by all means surrender to me and take shelter of Salsangam. Through Salsangam take my shelter. That is what Krishna is saying there in these chapters.
That is the message. Then don't get involved too much into this good and bad, right and wrong and all these things. That will go on in this world. But surrender to me and take shelter of me completely, and that will solve the problem. That will solve the problem. And then you won't go wrong, he says. You won't go wrong then. So if there is no satsangam, what will happen? Krishna says that also. If there is no satsangam, it will be like a boat in the river or the ocean, where it's like a boat without a rudder. You see, the rudder, when it is required in a boat, isn't it? If not, sometimes it can go in a different directions. It will not give you that proper balance for the boat to sail through in a particular direction. So, always it is required. You will see even the hand sailing boats. There is one person who knows which way to guide the boat, and he knows how to, if he sit in the boat will go in some different directions. But that's why that experience, they get it from that. They can sit there in the boat, and they can, you can help him to sail, but he will be driving the boat. Not in a mechanical level, while he is using his sail, isn't it? So satsangam is like that, Krishna is saying there, that give up all other things and take to satsangam, Krishna says there. So, when Krishna said this to Uddhava, what does it mean? Uddhava got a doubt. Uddhava says that when you started the 10th chapter, Krishna says, Varnashrama Dharma. Important, he says.
Look at that.
You can see how Uddhava gets into difficulties. Not Uddhava, for us also. Uddhava is saying, Krishna is saying, 10th chapter begins like this. Varnashrama kulacharam agamalma samacharel. Varnashramam is necessary, he says. Varnashrama kulacharam agamalma samacharel. He says. So, when he said that, and now Krishna is saying, don't worry about all that. Earlier he said Varnashrama Dharmam is important. And now Krishna is saying, Uddhava, don't worry about all that, ignore all that things. And simply take the shelter of the satsangam and take the benefit from that, he said. And when he said that, Uddhava says to him, should I continue working or should I give up work? A lot of people have got this doubt, isn't it? Should I continue working or should I give up work? This question had come. So, because earlier, based on Varnashrama Dharmam, you are meant to work, isn't it? You have to work in this world and live your, pay your way through, pay your life through, pay by working. Now Krishna is saying, leave all that behind, take shelter of satsangam. What should I do? This was the question. What should I do? Should I listen to that what you told me in the 10th chapter? Or should I listen to you now what you told me in the 12th chapter? This is Uddhava's doubt. Because Krishna is talking and talking all these things. Uddhava is getting confused more and more. You can see the confusion in Uddhava's mind. What should I do? So, Krishna clarified that. He says to them, karmam is based on your state where you are in life. Adhigari Bhedam, it's called. Based on your qualification, in other words. Spiritually, if you are very qualified, then you don't need karmam. You've gone out of karmam, beyond karmam. But if you are in a state in life where karma vasana has not left yet, karmam is still demanding actions from the body. So that is what is called Adhigari Vedam. Adhigari Vedam means according to your qualification. That is how that decision is made. In the beginning, everybody has to do karmam. Karmam, you can't run away from karmam. It has to be done. And a stage will come, at the same time, you should engage in satsangam. And due to the power of satsangam, if a stage comes in life that you can give up karmam, then you can give up karmam at that stage. That
deliberately you shouldn't do it. That's the principle. Without thinking about it, you should not give up karmam. Karmam, in the beginning, everyone has to go through the process. So that is why karmam, karmam on its own will not leave us. Karma vasana is there inside, so you will act, you can't take it away from inside. But when the deliberately you can't give it out, give it away, but a stage will come in life through the power of satsangam. One day, karma will also drop on its own from us. The karma vasana will get wiped out inside. Through satsangam it has to happen. When karma vasana completely leaves us, at that time automatically karma will leave us. We can see like in the smaller children in the small classes, first standard and all. I don't know whether it is there now. When we were all children, what they were doing, when we were writing in a page, it won't be straight. We begin at one side, go in the other way, opposite end. So what the teachers used to do? They used to put lines in the page. And they'll tell you to write on top of the line so that it remains straight, isn't it? Otherwise it will go in the other way from beginning to end. Yeah. So, and also to make your handwriting better. Now we don't need to do all these things. We've got everything gadget, isn't it? So people don't bother about handwriting. People don't bother. It's a different world. But so once you've got handwriting, if you have started writing letters properly and you've learned how to write in a line directly, then it is up to that point you need the lines. Afterwards, without lines also you can write. Isn't it? It'll still be okay. It'll come in the proper way. So, similarly, all these do's and don'ts are like that. All the do's and don'ts are like these lines in life. In life. And therefore, karmam has to be performed. What does that mean? It means that depending on the person, this decision has to be made. That's what it is. Depending on the person, you have to make the decision whether karmam is necessary or not. If you have managed to go up a little bit, then that person, these rules don't apply. Which one? Do's and don'ts don't apply for that person. And that is exactly when Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita also. When Krishna says to us, Sarvadharman parityajya mamegam sharanam vraja, it is at this stage to give up. Not up to that. But some of us have misunderstood that. We are saying, oh, I don't have to do anymore anything. Sarvadharman parityajya, where is he saying? Krishna is not saying like that. It is at this stage, based on the qualification of the person, that if he has developed spiritually well enough, and he knows that through satsangam he has acquired the proper jnanam, vairagyam, and gone a little bit higher in spiritual path, that means he has some realizations within himself, proper discrimination and proper vairagyam, renunciation. If all these things are in a person, then that person, if he gives up karmam, it will not matter very much. It will not matter very much. Otherwise, it will cause problems. That's the important bit there. So when you look at that word, sarvadharman parityajya, you should keep this in the mind. At what stage that question comes? Sarvadharman parityajya. Not day one sarvadharman parityajya. Day one, if you do sarvadharman parityajya, you will be in hell at the end. You will end up in the hell. That's what it will happen. You will not only you will destroy yourself, you will destroy so many others' life in this world. So, one person I mentioned this before also, he heard this verse. Which one? Sarvadharman parityajya mamegam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarvabhebhyo makshishyami vasija. After hearing that word, he said, I've decided to follow, I've become 50%, I've succeeded in doing that, he said. I mean, sarvadharman parityajya I'm done it. Mamegam sharanam vraja, I'm not ready yet. That is useless. What's the use of that? Sarvadharman parityajya I've done. That means I don't want to work anymore. I want to live without doing anything. Mamegam sharanam vraja, we will see later. This is the approach. This is how many people misunderstand that verse, isn't it? So, Mamegam Sharanam Raja, I am still thinking about it. Is it worthwhile? But Sarvadharman Bharatija is good proposal. I don't have to do any work anymore, isn't it? So, That means only if you have reached that state, you can come out of it. You can. It will leave you on its own. Karma vasana will not be there anymore. After saying that, Krishna talked about Salsangam again. At that point, Uddhava had a doubt. Another doubt came to Uddhava's mind. Because that's how Krishna clarified that question. That whether Varnashrama Dharma or Sarsangam, this question came up. So Krishna answered that in this way, saying that till you reach that state, karmam is necessary, Varnashram is necessary. Once you have got to that stage, Salsangam is the one that will elevate you further. That means after a certain level of realization, when there is sufficient jnanam vairagyam inside, because after you hear Bhagavatam for a long time, you will naturally develop all this understanding within yourself. You will start seeing, analyzing yourself. And you yourself will come to understand that karmam has also its own limitations. You see, karmam cannot give you self-realization. That's the first thing to understand. Karmam is limited. Therefore, the result is also limited. That is the very basic principle. How much karmam can you do with this body and the mind? There's a limit for that, isn't it? Even if you work in a factory for 60 years, after 60 years you will get exhausted. Karmam is limited. So karmam cannot offer you self-realization of the knowledge of the self. That we must be very clear all the time. Karmam is not going to solve the problem. What we are engaged in spiritual life is for realizing the truth, the self, isn't it? Karmam cannot offer that. Karmam has its own limitations. That is why, but karmam, vasana is inside. What can you do? And as long as there is vasana inside, if you do not wipe out that vasana from inside, it will always become a hindrance. What will happen is you will come to spiritual life and you will become a strong person, active person in the karmam, in that way. So there is an effect of that in spiritual life, and then you will find it very difficult to sit in one place and to read Bhagavatam because you are so busy with so many millions of projects all over the world. And then what will you do? How will you able to read Bhagavatam then? That is why these things are, you can't change it. It is the way we are created. We are built like this. So all we can do is to go along the way it is built rather than trying to alter our structure. So that's why Krishna said, through Salsangam, if you have gone up a little bit, and then at that time, vidhi nishedam, do's and don'ts and all you can ignore. Initially, you need the do's and don'ts. In the beginning, you require all that. You require the rules and regulations. But after you have gone up a little bit in spiritual life, you can ignore all that. It will not matter very much. That you will notice, particularly in great personalities, you will see, they didn't follow the rules and regulations. They didn't have to be there for 4:30 for Mangalarati or 16 rounds and all that. It doesn't, chanting, it doesn't affect them anymore. Why? 24, they have gone a little higher than others. They are not bound by the rules and regulations. For them, whole life is spiritual life. There's nothing else. But initially, when he's in the spiritual, one comes to spiritual life, he has to follow the rules and regulations. So, depending on the person's state where he is, these rules and regulations, do's and don'ts, all apply. That is the point he's making there. So, it was at that time, Uddhava had this doubt. This sense objects, the senses, and the mind. Three things. Sense objects, the senses, and the mind. Those three things are connected each other. Are they not? They are connected each other. They are created like that. When you see how they operate, all three together. One on its own don't operate. Sense objects are there, senses are there, and the mind is there. These three things together. The mind is connected with the senses. Connected with the senses. Senses connect you with the sense objects. That's it. So, and the changes in the sense objects affects our mind. Is it not? If the sense objects, if any changes happens in the sense objects, it affects our mind. And that is the question. How? That, and you are telling me, Krishna says, Uddhava says to Krishna, that unless all the sense objects goes away from the mind, unless all the sense objects leaves the mind, liberation is not possible. Liberation is not possible. That's clear, isn't it? That because the sense objects are in the mind, that is why we engage in karma. That is what is driving us to do so many things. So in a very subtle level, the sense objects are operating within us all the time. Knowingly or unknowingly, it is working within us. And it is too subtle, for example, attachment to the family, wife, children, that is giving the propensity to go to work in the morning. We need money for spending for the family or paying the mortgage or whatever it may be. And they are objects of senses. And family life is nothing but sense objects. And in order that to continue, karma is necessary. Karma will continue that. So, and question was that how can you separate them all? Which means the sense objects, the senses and the mind. How do you break it up? How do you break them up? And how to get rid of these sense objects from the mind? It's a little difficult question, this is. What the question from which was asked by the Kumaras. The four Kumaras asked this question. And naturally, the question was, all the children think father knows everything. So they asked the father. So normally what the father does, if he can't answer the question, he'll say, don't ask all that question. He says, go and do your homework. Something like that. We'll send them away. Isn't it? Because there's so many interesting the cartoons about that. Say, father, son is asking, father and mother is watching the television. Son goes and says that, why is the cow is so holy? And all. Father doesn't know. Father is saying to the son, don't ask all these questions. Useless questions, he says. So like this. So here also, in the same way, this is a little bit more intricate question. This is very difficult question also to explain that in the proper way. So when he asked this question to Brahma, when the four Kumaras asked this question to Brahma, Brahma was a little bit perplexed. Brahma couldn't answer that question when he asked the question. Why was Brahma perplexed? That also says here. Because Brahma is in the process of creation, isn't it? He is into creation. Creation means karma. If you absorb too much in karma, you will not be able to think, that clarity won't come in the knowledge level. Knowledge is not possible and proper clarity is not possible when there is a lot of karma going through the body. It is the difficulty with the karma. That is why Brahma could not answer that question. Because he was absorbed in karma called the creation process. So therefore, that if you take the sense objects away from the mind, or in other words, if the sense objects leaves the mind, the complexity is like this. That suppose I closed all the windows or the exit windows are the senses. Suppose I shut down all the windows so that mind will not go into the sense objects. What is the fun? Sense objects are saying, if you can't come to me, I'll come to you. This is how it is, isn't it? So what will happen? You will sit at home, shutting all the senses, but meditating all the sense objects. It will end up like that. That's what happens normally. So this game that they play together, the sense objects and the mind, even though there is this window, exit windows, called the senses, they are unable to shut it down completely. There is some mutual agreement between the sense objects and the mind that you can't come to me, I will come to you. Why you worry? We can enjoy together in this way, in the mind. So because it acts in that way, what will happen is, say, for example, you have closed your eyes, you are closed your nose and ears, everything, and all the senses you are completely closed down. So at that time, what happened? All the sense objects came together inside us, isn't it? And once you allow the, and then what happened is, when they are inside, say by chance you opened all the gates, the exit windows, then immediately the mind says, now I can, everything is open now, it's readily available, let me go and enjoy. This is how it is. So many desires built up inside, and these desires are come from the sense objects I have created in association with the mind. And suppose artificially you have said, shut this window, shut that window, shut all the other windows. Mind will stay for some time as long as it is shut. The moment you open the window, mind will say, windows are open, the doors are open, let's go, enjoy. It will say this, isn't it? So at no time it is separated. Say for example, the flower and its smell, or flower and the smell of the flower. Similarly, fire and its heat. You can't separate them out. How will you separate the heat from the fire? So, when one thing is there, other has to be there. Other has to be there. So, now, when Krishna said this, that unless you separate them, liberation is not possible. So, how do you separate them? That's the question here. And that is why that chapter, 13th chapter, is a bit difficult chapter, Hamsa Gita, compared to all other, in relationship with the Bhikshu Gita, Aila Gita, and Dattatreya Gita. Hamsa Gita is more difficult, because of the gravity of the question itself. Question itself is so grave that to answer that question requires so many verses, and you can see that Kapila Maharshi Sankhyam has come in there. Many verses from Kapila Maharshi Sankhyam also has been taken there. So that is when Krishna is saying to them Krishna says to Uddhava, what you have said is correct, is the truth. So he said, this question, what you have mentioned there earlier, remember I mentioned this before, the four Kumaras have asked this to Brahma. You will never say any question in Puranam, this is the style. That whatever you say, if you ask a question, the answer will come like this. That the same question was raised in another instance by Rishis to Brahma or to Narada Maharshi or to somebody else like that. And why did Krishna take this example? Reason is that also to indicate to Uddhava, you are more or less in that same level as the four Kumaras. You come to that state. That also is an indication there. Otherwise, Krishna wouldn't have brought this example here while talking to Uddhava. Because Krishna is also acknowledging that Uddhava is not in the same state as Arjuna. Right? Uddhava is not in the same state as Arjuna. Uddhava is in a very higher state. So, naturally, Krishna can talk about this example to Uddhava because Uddhava's situation is like that. Uddhava's situation is like that. That is why this example was taken. The four Kumaras, they thought about this issue a lot. Very seriously they thought about this. They couldn't find an answer. And they went to Lord Brahma and asked Lord Brahma about it. Told the father, we have got a doubt. The sense objects, the mind and the senses, they are all connected to each other. And Kumaras are saying this. Kumaras are considered to be jnanis, isn't it? They are asking this question. They are saying that without the sense objects leaving the mind, liberation is not possible. So how is that possible? How can you do that? This was the question. Look at the question itself in the verse 18. Evam prishto mahadeva swayambhur bhudabhavana dhyayamana prashna bijam nabhyabadhyada karmadhi. If you read all these chapters, the advantage is when the sense objects are demanding visits to various locations to gratify,
Krishna is telling you, don't go after that. It is a very subtle level of warning to us. From inside, from the mind, if it is demanding visits to places where to gratify the senses, Krishna is saying that the same issue came up. Evam prishto mahadeva, 18th verse, 13th chapter. Swayambhur bhudabhavana dhyayamana prasna bijam nabhyabhadhyada karmadhi. Karmadhi. Karmadhi means that due to that involvement in karma, what has happened to him. And Lord Brahma is not always in spiritual life. You must not forget that. He is not in spiritual life. Although he heard Srimad Bhagavatam, the first person to hear Bhagavatam. At that time also Krishna warned him. Remember? What did he say to him? That Brahma said, if I start creation, will I not get involved in that? Krishna says, yes. And all that I have created, they will all be suffering. I will have to see that. I am the father, isn't it, of everybody. Krishna says, yes, that there is no escape. If you got involved in karma, as you sow, so you reap. You get the result and you will have to have the after effect of that. You will have to bear. So then Krishna says to him, I will give you a remedy for that. These four verses. Brahma's Bhagavatam is only four verses. Told him, you chant these four verses and continue with the creation. But in spite of that, the power of karma to show to us, it has happened to many, many people, not only Brahma. Remember Prajedas, what happened. After 10,000 years underneath the water, chanting Rudragidam, or Lord Shiva taught them, when they came out and they entered into householder life, and then they have forgotten everything. And they are asking Narada Maharshi, one day Lord Shiva taught us this Rudragidam, we have completely forgotten that. This is the power of householder life, to show to us the power of householder life. How much it can take you away from Krishna in many ways. So it is a warning there, and same thing here also. If it can happen to Brahma and to Prajedas, would that not happen to us? You take Bhagavatam and look at it this way. When Kardama Prajapati wanted to get married, remember what happened? Swayambhuva Manu, the most beautiful girl in the world, brought his daughter, Devahuti Devi, and is offering her in marriage to Kardama. And Kardama's life, if you read in the Bhagavatam, nobody else has led a... You will not find a bridegroom like this anywhere. No house to live, underneath the tree, living there. Eating the fruits and the flowers from the forest. And when Swayambhu Manu and Shatarupa brought Devahuti there, they felt... Particularly Shatarupa felt, if this is going to be the husband, doesn't have a house, doesn't have a job, doesn't have any income, how is he going to manage? My daughter will be in trouble, would she not? Says him. There, what does Sugar Brahma she says? She doesn't know. Shatarupa does not know the wealth of Kardama Prajapati. Kardama Prajapati is the richest person in this world. Why? When Kardama knew that it is time for a proper relationship with with Devahuti, what did he do? He says to Krishna that, I need a place to live. What was sent from there, from the Vaikuntham, Krishna sent to him? An aeroplane which was not even like our Dreamliner. More than that. Dreamliner, you are all limited with the belt, you have to sit tight like this. But this was an aeroplane which was sent, which went through the heavenly planets, Nandanam, Chaitra Ratham and places like that. Enjoying, and this aeroplane won't fall when the fuel finishes. It stays there. That yoga power Kardama Prajapati had. So, to tell us that Kardama Prajapati, before entering into householder life, he took Srimad Bhagavatam seriously. That is, he advised to all the young people, before we enter, because we are also a little Brahmas in this world, and busy with creation, isn't it? No difference at all. Brahma is doing in a big scale. We are doing in a very small scale. That's all. But principle, it's the same creation process. Before entering to this creation process, take Srimad Bhagavatam in the hand, then you won't feel distressed in householder life. That warning is there to show to us that Kardama Prajapati's life in the Bhagavatam. And Kardama Prajapati and Devahuti Devi, because she was also equally committed to spiritual life,
Therefore, you could see that how she served Kardama Prajapati in his spiritual life, and together they executed their householder life, isn't it? So, but here, Brahma has the same problem. He is busy with the creation. He has no time to think about Bhagavatam to that extent, isn't it? He's a big, very big, he's got a very, chief executive job there. A big executive he is, isn't it? Because he is in charge of creation. Therefore, suddenly when the Kumaras asked this question, he couldn't answer the question. Even Brahma didn't even understand the question. Can you imagine how much he was in trouble? So, but Brahma has got one good thing. Not like us. When he's in trouble, he will ask for help. That is a good quality with Brahma. So he says to him that he didn't feel, though, my son, because it's a little bit bad for the parents when the children ask some question, if they can't answer the question. Isn't it? It's a little bit, they feel that their authority has been questioned and they feel bad about that. So, you will see in the next verse. Sama machindaye deva prasnavar atititi irshaya tasyaham hamsarubena sakashamagamam tada. Sakasham agamam tada. Brahma is very lucky that way. When he is in trouble, immediately Brahma's thoughts went to Krishna. Let me ask this question to the authority. And Brahma prayed to Krishna, to the Antaryami inside, give me an answer to this question. And in meditation he sat there. Brahma sat there in meditation. And it was at that time, he says, Tasyaham hamsarubena sakasham agamam tada. Krishna appeared as a hamsam. Swan there in front of them. And Krishna says to Dava, I went into front of Brahma in the form of a swan, hamsam, there. And Brahma was in meditation. And when Brahma saw this hamsam in front of him straight away, and the four Kumaras woke up at that time, Brahma, and told Brahma, a swan has come in front of you, he says. But Brahma's vehicle is also swan, isn't it? But when they looked at this hamsam, they says to Brahma, this is not your vehicle. It's not your Mercedes, what you are traveling with. This is another something different. Because Brahma's vehicle is hamsam. You can see that in the Bhagavad. So, this has come from outside somewhere. Your vehicle which is parked, it is still there, outside. So Brahma opened his eyes and looked at that new hamsam, which new swan which has come. And he looked at it, looked very beautiful, this hamsam. And therefore Brahma asked him, Ko Bhavan, who are you? He asked this question. Who are you? Ko Bhavan. So hamsam says that Panjalmageshu Bodeshu Samaneshu Javastudam Ko Bhavani Diva Prasnam Vajarambho anarthagaham. That question itself is wrong, he says. And it is he's right also in saying that, because the question is wrong. And he says to him that if you ask the correct question, I can answer you. But if you ask me a wrong question, how can I answer you that question? So he says to the hamsam, this hamsam starts speaking. Hamsam says to Brahma that your question is not correct. So, because you asked me the question, seeing me, who I am, isn't it? What does that mean? It means that, are you talking about this body? If you're asking me about the body, this is made of five material elements. Lord Brahma, your body is also made of material elements. So, which one? Both are made of the same thing, isn't it? Panchabhautikam. So, one body which is made of five material elements is asking another body which is made of five material elements, who are you? Does it mean anything? This was the answer from the hamsam. So Brahma, in his confused state, he got more confused. Already he was got confused. Now he got more confused when this question came up like this. So, so Brahma says to him, I'm not asking you on the bodily platform, I'm asking on the spiritual platform, he says to him. Then it is a bigger mistake, he said. If you are asking me on the spiritual platform, your soul and my soul is one. They are not many. There is only one soul that is in every body, in every living entity is present there. But the soul is one. It is not different. One consciousness which is distributed everywhere. You will see the perfection of Advaitam in Hamsa Gita. Nowhere else you will find it. To such an extent, precisely spoken like this. The way it's spoken in the Advaitas, in the Hamsa Gita. So he says, nobody will ask himself, who are you? Would you? You won't ask yourself, who are you? You won't ask that question. So when he answered like this, the Hamsam answered, when he asked about the body, he said, body, it is the same. You and me are the same. When the soul, there is only one soul. So how can you ask, who are you? So when both these answers were coming back like this from the Hamsam, Brahma started looking up how to put forward this question. So the answer to that question is in the question itself. That's how you have to study this chapter. The answer to the question is in the question itself, that because it's a kind of question that is, that the answer is hidden within the question. Body is material, isn't it? It is made of material elements. Krishna also says that very clearly. The five material elements, bhumi, apanalo, vayu. Then the other three things inside, bhumi, apanalo, vayu come. Then manasa, buddhi, ahankaram. They are all material. They are all material. Kamano, buddhi, revaja, ahankaram. And which Krishna calls it as ashtadha prakriti in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhinna prakriti, ashtadha. Ashtadha prakriti. And so is consciousness, chaitanyam, awareness, avabhodham. That's how they say. Atma is avabhodham. It is not matter. It is consciousness. Pure consciousness, avabhodham it is. And whatever is applicable to the body does not apply to the mind. And whatever apply to the atma, soul, does not affect the body. You remember, Prahlada said this. If you remember, in the Bhagavatam, 12 qualities of the Atma and the body, 6 qualities of soul, I think, and 12 qualities of the body is spoken in 2 verses. In Prahlada saying this very clearly there. So, this is what has happened now. Mind is mixing with the senses. And senses are mixing with the sense objects, all together connected up each other. So, these three things, mind, senses and the sense objects, they are together always, working together, isn't it? And Atma does not belong to any of these three. He is above all these three. Which one? Mind, senses and sense objects. Beyond these three is the Atma. The soul is above all these things. So, even if the sense objects gets into the mind, or if the mind gets into the sense objects, what does it matter to the soul? This was the answer from Hamsam. Hamsam answered like that. So, let the sense objects comes to the mind, what happens to the soul? Nothing happens to the soul. Suppose, I have taken a lot of salt. You don't have to drink water for that. Normally, if you take a lot of salt, you have to drink water. But if I have taken the salt, why do you have to drink the water for that? Similarly, if the mind is absorbed in the sense objects, why the soul has to suffer from that? The happiness and distress from that. Because if the mind goes after sense objects, eventually, it will invite happiness and distress from that, isn't it? Sukham dukham will come from that. So, if the mind has created that situation by going after sense objects, is the self has to be affected by that? That is the question that is coming from that. So, what has happened now? Today, we are experiencing the miseries of this world, isn't it? What is the reason? For that, reason for that is
that my body, my senses, my subtle body, all are connected up each other. And I have developed a false connection with them, with the body, mind and the subtle body. With the subtle body, mind and the senses. Isn't it? And that is why I say my body, my mind, my intelligence. I'm saying this all the time. So, because I have developed this identification with my body, my mind, my intelligence in that way, that is where things have gone wrong. That's where things have gone wrong. And as long as it is there, this connection is there between my real self and this identification with the body, when senses are interacting with the sense objects and the mind, I will feel that in me because of this connection. It is a little difficult topic that is, isn't it? Because unless you clearly understand how the mind works, how the senses work, sense objects work, and the self, which is beyond all these things, the spiritual realization, because almost 100% of us is absorbed in the mind, isn't it? We live in the mind, basically. Mind makes decisions. Mind is dictating many things. Accordingly, we are functioning in this world. And it is not easy for anybody to break away from the mind like that. Manomayam. That's what Krishna also saying. Vidhi, Maya, Manomayam. Maya is there, mind is there. The two together will do the job. And we get involved in that. So, till one comes out of this, this breaking up is not possible. Breaking up means that you break up with all the three at one time. Don't try to separate them. You break up yourself, your real self has to break up from the mind, senses and the sense objects once for all. And after that, once you are broken up, even if they are interacting each other, it won't affect you. It is not affecting you anymore. That is the point Krishna is driving at here. For example, when the eyes are seeing some object, that that Atma is not seeing, actually, then eyes are seeing the object, isn't it? Only thing is, Atma has given the power to the eye to see the object. That's all it is. Atma has given the power for the eye to see the object. But Atma is not seeing. Atma is not seeing. Eyes are seeing that. And similarly, you are tasting some nice, say, gulab jamun or laddu or something like that, enjoying the sweetness of the food. And who is experiencing the sweetness? The mind. Is it not? The effect of that sweetness of the gulab jamun or laddu doesn't go to the Atma. Atma is not. Atma gives the power to the mind to enjoy the sweetness of the sweetness of the seed. Or gives the taste for the tongue to enjoy that. So, Atma gives that capacity for the senses and the mind to relish and to enjoy that particular sense object. But Atma is not enjoying. At the same time, Atma is not enjoying. For example, suppose you have got a very good light. You are sitting underneath that light and you are writing something. You are writing something. The lamp is not writing. We are writing. Isn't it? And we are seeing. Lamp is not seeing anything. Only thing is, the lamp is giving the light for us to write whatever we want to write. Similarly, this is our relationship. Atma's relationship with the body, mind, senses, sense objects is like this. In his presence, everything can happen. If he is not there, things cannot happen. So, and lamp is not seeing in his absence. And only the lamp does is it gives you the light. Similarly, the Atma also at the same time, he is present inside us. And due to his presence, he gives the capacity for us to do various things, what we are doing. Isn't it? And that state
If you are in that state, that is called a Turiyam. We have three states normally: Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. In Jagrat, what happens? We are on full steam with the body and the mind and the intelligence and the ego and the senses and the sense objects, everything, and the self, real self. So real self gives power to everything, and they are all active in the vacant state, right? Then if you leave the vacant state and go into the dream state, what happens? We have put down one, the body, finished there, lying there. But mind is active, and in that active mind, it is creating its own world, the dream world. And in that dream world, it is functioning. Lot of things happens in the dream state, is it not? It creates another world. Either you have experienced in this life, or you have experienced in previous life, we do not know. It all comes back, and it creates a huge empire in the dream world. Who gives the power to the mind to do that? The self. Atma inside offers that effort, power to the self. Self gives the power to the mind to do that. Then what happens? When you go into the deep sleep state, you have closed down the body, you have closed down the mind as well. And the intelligence, everything. But then, there is still some experience happening there in the deep sleep state. What is called in the Sushupti, what we call it as the impact of the, due to the Sushupti stage, what we experience there, that experience of happiness, what you derive, the experience there. And unfortunately, even though that experience is there in the deep sleep state, you are unable to connect with that due to the presence of tamogunam there. You are unable to connect with that. Like the way you connect with the happiness in the vacant state and in the dream state. When it comes to deep sleep, all you know is when you wake up, you know that you are having a great time in the deep sleep. But in the deep sleep, you are not able to say that. Why? Because tamogunam covers the consciousness in such a way that even though the experience of the absence of the body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything is there, still unable to connect with that. That is why when you break up that barrier there, and you come to the Turiyam state, where it comes to the point that you will know that that person who experienced in the deep sleep state that happiness is nobody else than you, your real self, who was going through that. So, that is what it is saying here also, that that he says here that sukham dukham, that all these things are, the mind is creating that, isn't it? Actually, this chapter is nothing but Jnana Yoga. Nothing but Jnana Yoga. Suppose I'm seeing an object and I'm finding some happiness there in that object. If I am not seeing, then I have no connection with the object then. I am feeling the happiness of seeing the object because I feel a connection with the object, isn't it? So only when you start seeing any object, this is one example, just with the vision only, that when it becomes mine or me or mine, when it comes into that relationship, only in that situation the relationship is established. You see? Remember yesterday we were talking about me and mine. You remember how it comes in the subtle level it operates in us. Every time one of our senses sees an object, a connection is established with the object and me through these two things, me and mine. Me and mine. If me and mine is not there, I have no contact with that object. I have no connection with that object. It's me and mine that is binding me with the object. You see that? So in reality,
There is no nanatvam. Nanatvam means variegatedness. Doesn't exist. But in every object, we are seeing nanatvam. Isn't it? Nanatvam means, it's a game that is played by the senses. Right? And in science, they haven't got a clue about all these things. They are going after nanatvam and trying to find an answer. Vedantam is saying, don't go after this variegatedness. You won't find an answer. Vedantam brings everything into one. Because if you keep on analyzing, today you will see one planet. Say, for example, they went to the moon planet, right? And they came back and said, there's nothing there, no oil there, what's the point in wasting time? Let's go to another, look in the Mars there. Mars, they can't even get in properly there. Because it's the whole thing is such a disaster. Billions thrown that way. Then they're saying that, what about Saturn and all that? Where is oil? Where else is oil available? So this is the people who are trying to give knowledge to this world. Imagine the misery what people are following from that. Only thing is it keeps a lot of people on the job. That there is no question. It gives a lot of people a lot of work, isn't it? Starting from the Houston, it goes into all over the world, the disease has spread. So you can see from where Vedam is coming from. Vedam is saying to us, this nanatvam itself is a falsity in the object. It is only in the sensual world this variegatedness exists, right? And do you trust these senses? Sensual perception is only one level of looking at things. This can change if your number of senses are different. So for example, Krishna has given us 5 senses now. Many animals have less senses than us. For example, if you take these worms and all that, they haven't got all the 5 senses like us. They haven't got 5 senses. All the 5 senses of knowledge and 5 senses of action, they don't have it. And all the senses are influenced by the modes of material nature also. And it is in that particular platform only all your studies are making any sense. When you are absorbed in the sensual platform, only then it makes any sense. Otherwise not. This is the important point. This is the important point. So that is why when we come to Vedantam, you will notice this. That why do we go so strongly against the science? Whole science is based on this sensual platform. As though what you perceive through the senses is the only truth. Where Krishna is saying to us, the senses, where did they get their power from? That's Krishna's point. They cannot function. Because you can see that, suppose somebody is dead. You put some sweet rice into the mouth. What will the tongue accept it? Will he enjoy that? So where did the tongue get its power to enjoy the sweet rice? Because of the presence of the self. Instead of inquiring about the self, you are inquiring about the sweet rice. That's the problem. That you are busy with the sense objects and the sensual activity, and therefore this problem. So therefore Krishna is rejecting in one verse, the whole science is rejected there itself. Complete madness this whole thing is. That therefore he is saying here that that connection with any sense object is established only when me and mine comes in there. That is how that connection is established between the sense objects. That's why in the Upanishads, in 4 or 5 words, they have put this whole thing in. Ekam, evam, advitiyam, brahmam. Very simple statement. Ekam, evam, advitiyam, brahmam. Ekam, eva, advitiyam, brahmam. So, so this happiness and distress, what you are experiencing, the cause behind that, which is, who makes the happiness and distress decision? The mind. Mind is saying, I feel happy when I have this, I feel unhappy when I don't have this. It's the mind, nothing to do with the self inside, isn't it? So, but that power for the mind to do so is coming from the self, is coming from the self. So in other words, all of them in Vedantam is called Kalpana. That's the word they used. Kalpana. That means through your mind you have concluded certain conclusions, in other words. Certain conclusions which you have made from your mind. That's what is called. Kalpana matram, they call it. Pure kalpana, that is.
So they give the example that is given one. Ichheda vibramamidam manaso vilasam drishtam vinashtamadilo halamalata chakram vijnanamegam urudheva vibhadimaya sutnastrida gunavisargagrado vigalpaha. Then Krishna is saying that simple example that you have got a piece of wood which is lighted, right? It's burning. If you hold this and start rotating like this, from a distance if you look at it, it will appear as though there is a fire circle. Yucheda vibramido manaso vilasam. It is nothing but, it's a perception in the mind, it's it, that there is a fire circle there. Actually, it is not there. So, unless you escape from that, that perception what the mind is creating, and instead go back to the truth, you are never going to escape from this problem. That's what he is saying here. So, due to that, and this perception is happening in the mind, why does it happen? Because of ahanda and mamata, what we spoke about yesterday. Me and mine. Throughout Bhagavatam, you will see this keeps coming up again and again. And as long as this ahanda and mamata is inside there in a person, and as long as you have the material body, senses, subtle body, everything present there, this nanatvam, variegatedness, will exist in a person. Will exist in a person. You won't be able to come out of that. It's a very complex thing when you look at it from the Jnana Yogam point of view. Too complex and too difficult to follow. It is a fact. When you hear that, you can't deny it. It is a reality, isn't it? And that is why you will see all the time in Vedantam, they will say to you, you are people who only trust your eyes. You only trust your ears. And everything that you see through your eyes and ears is the only truth for you. For you, that's the only truth. What are we supposed to tell you? This is the Vedantam answer. So we'll continue after a few minutes.
Cheto darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davadmi narvabhanam shreya kaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradipada purnamrada swadhanam sarvatna swavanam varam vijayate shri krishna sangirtanam Namnamagari Bahuda Nijasarova Shakti Tatra Arpida Nimida Smaranena Kala Tavakruba Bhagavan Mamabi Durdeiva Mi Drishamiha Jani Nanuragaham Tranarabi Shuni Jena Tarorabi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Nadhanam najanam nasundarim kabidam va jagadishakamai mama janmani janmani shwari bhavada bhaktirahe tujitvai ayi nandadanu jakingaram patidamam shame bhavam budau kribaya tava pada pangajastida duli sadrisham vijindayam nayanam galadashudharaya vadanam gadgadarudhaya giraham Pulagayar nijidam kadavapu tavannamagrahane bhavishyadim Yugaidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam Shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name Ashleshyava padaradam pinashtumam adarshanam armahadam karotuva Yadadadava vidadadulam malpranamadhastuma evanam
So, in those few verses, in the what Krishna is talking about from verse 18 onwards till the end, up to 42, is nothing but Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga spoken in a way that the way Hamsam has spoken to the Kumaras. So, we saw there. When that firewood which is burning, if you hold it and rotate it, it comes in the form of a circle when somebody looks at it from a distance, isn't it? But actually it is not a circle, it's a firewood burning. And
it appears as though it is a circle there because of the it's an experience in us what the mind is saying. And why did that happen? That's where ahanda and mamata comes in. Ahanda and mamata, that means me and mine, will make every object to appear in front of us in a different way. It's too subtle to understand that statement, isn't it? Me and mine, that feeling inside, will develop every object to appear in front of us in a different way. It puts a cover to the whole thing. The experience of that object inside us is in a different form. It changes its original form. That's the most important thing too. So this variegatedness, what we feel in the creation, everything is different, every object is different, and every person is different. Why do we feel these differences? Even though body is made of the same material, five material elements, soul is one, where this variegatedness came from then? That question will come. Isn't it? It's too much a subtle point to understand that this variegatedness comes due to the presence of me and mine inside. That's what makes the whole thing, whole perception of the whole creation, makes a big change there altogether. So, as long as this me and mine, ahanda mamata, these two things are present inside, then body, senses, the subtle body, everything will be there, and nanatvam or variegate diversity will be there. How could we come out of that? That was the next verse. You see, in two verses Krishna has spoken the whole thing. And that's why it's so difficult it is to even to explain that, because it's so drishtim tata. How to come out of that? He's saying drishtim tada pratinivartya nivartya trishnas tushnim bhavel nija sukhanu bhavo miriha samdrishyade kojayadivam avastu buddhya tektam brahmayana bhavet smriti rani padad. That is the solution. In the 34th verse, he is saying why it happens. Vijnanam ekam, there is only one knowledge. Urudheva vibhadi maya. But we feel that there is so much different knowledges. You see how the scientists break up all the knowledge, different, everything, isn't it? In one subject, they make another 10 subjects out of it. And they think that they have made advancement. Krishna is saying, no, you actually more got caught up in the maya. Vijnanam ekam urudheva vibhadi maya. Maya does that. One vijnanam, one knowledge, you are breaking up again and again and again. And then science is thinking breaking up is advancement. Vedantam is saying making it one is advancement. Totally opposite. Science is thinking if you break up the subject again and again, it is advancement. Vedantam is saying if you can bring them all together, that is your proper understanding of the vastu, the truth. That's what he's saying here. Vijnanamekam urudheva vibhadi maya swapna stridha guna visarga grado vigalpam. How once the vigalpam comes inside, under the influence of the modes of material nature, it will create a swapnam like experience. It's like a dream that creates this. Swapna tridha guna visarga grado vigalpam. In the three levels, it's creating that swapnam rajasa tamasa. So, then he says there, drishtim dada pratinivrtya nivrta trishna tushnim bhavel nija sukhanu bhavo niriha samdrishyade kujayadidam avastu buddhya tyaktam brahmayana bhavel smriti rani padal. Then, imagine an example that you are traveling in a, say, railway train. You are sitting in the train and you travel the whole day in a train, and in the evening you got home, you bathed yourself, had your prasadam, everything, and then went to bed. And you will see when you are sleeping on the bed as though the bed is still shaking like in the train. You will get that experience. At least in India you will get it. Yeah, I don't know. Here also you get it. Everywhere you get it, but Indian trains are very well known for that. It will put you to sleep with all that heat, everything. So the reason for that is you are sat in the train for some time. That's why you are feeling that in the night while sleeping, isn't it? So similarly, this way of life, what we are living now, material existence, it didn't start yesterday or day before. It had started long ago. Not in this body, but in another body. The same thing we were doing repeatedly, isn't it? So, due to that, what has happened is that continuously changing the bodies, living in different bodies, experiencing different things, it has created this ahanda mamada in us, attachment and aversion in that way, me and mine. And just like you felt this shaking, this bed when you were sleeping at night, in the same way, you are experiencing birth and death. Because you have passed through this so many times, it has become a reality for us now. It's tough, it is. It's not easy to digest. Vedantam is like that, isn't it? It's when it is telling, Krishna is saying this to us, that because you have experienced it so many times, death, now we are frightened about death. Because you were born so many times, now we are seeing the difficulty with the birth also. But reality, Krishna is slowly taking us to that state to prove it to us that this life and death is not real. Body is not real. And similarly, the world is not real. To convince us, it's very difficult. Why? Because we are caught up in this power of the senses. As long as you are under the influence of the senses and the mind, it is a different world altogether. Because the only thing what we can accept today, what comes through the senses, isn't it? Like the science says, only what you see you should believe. You shouldn't believe anything else. And they've gone and seen a lot of things and they themselves are perplexed about it, what they've seen. They say, how can it be like this? They thought there was a lot of life in the moon when they went there. They didn't see any life there. They came back and said, there is no life. Prabhupada says, all nonsense, throw that away, he said. That was his answer. He didn't want to discuss about it. Because he said it is ignorance completely. All what you see through your senses is the only truth for you. And do you want me to accept that, he said. So, he says, sometimes he has been very heavy on this issue. And even though many devotees have left and gone, he says, they couldn't understand, what can I do? If they couldn't understand, what can I do? They have put so much faith in the so-called science and saying that what the science says is the only truth. Because you have seen it. That's the answer for that. Because you have seen it. And Maya is such a thing. That is why I mentioned before also this fifth canto is so much confusing to everybody. They are seeing fifth canto, Jambudvipam, Meru Mountain. And then again, there's four elephants on all the four corners holding this whole creation. Digajam it is called in the Bhagavatam, right? They keep the balance of this whole thing not falling off. Where are these elephants? You ask, we'll have to make the elephant with the wood or marble and keep it there to show to the world. And you, these scientists, will they any time understand these things? Who are studying through the science, isn't it? So Deva Goswami, who is not under the control of the senses, who has come out of this, that is why what he is seeing is so different than what we are seeing through the senses. Only what we see through the senses we will accept as the truth. And then we are telling the people how we have got the truth. We are also doing exactly the same thing, seeing through the senses and telling others like that. So, anyway, this chapter will open up our eyes on these things. That's what he's saying here. Drishtim dada pradinivarti nivarta trishna tushnim bhaved. That's the answer for that. Problem is this, he's saying there. That if you want to get rid of this issue, of this seeing like this, in this way, the way you are seeing, the only way you can do that is, you should not get absorbed in that. Or withdraw the senses from that. For example, say I'm traveling in the train. I'm sitting in the train. And I reached in a particular station. In one track, this train is standing there. And when I got, there was another track, another train was standing there. Next to that, next to each other. You will see this often happen. This is everybody's experience. When that train starts moving, you will start thinking you are moving. Isn't it? It's quite common experience, is that? That actually the other train is moving, but we think that we are moving. And our train is not moving. And
Even if you try to think at that time, it's not working. What you are seeing is different. We are moving. But then once that train is gone away, and then you start thinking, yes, we have not gone. But while looking at that train, you are always feeling that we are moving, even though the other train is moving. Similarly, there is only one way to come out of this. That's what Krishna is saying there. Drishtim tada pradinivarti nivarta teshna tushnim bhaved. Instead of looking at the other side of that train which is standing parallel to you, look into this side. Then you won't feel. Then you will know that you are stationary. You are not traveling. If you look at the other side, you are moving. Is it not? So, so you will know that in stationary. Similarly, if you withdraw the mind from the senses, and if you turn it inward towards the Atma, towards the soul, Andharmukhatvam, then material existence will go once for all. Otherwise, it won't go. This is Jnana Marga. Unless you turn the attention from the world or the sense objects and direct it towards the self inside, this experience won't go. It will remain with us. And let the senses and sense objects lie in the world as they are. It doesn't affect us anymore. And you can understand that it makes a complete change in our life. Look at this way. If you kill a small ant, you got a sinful reaction for that, right? But when Krishna comes here in different incarnations, the only business is killing. What he does here, he has no reaction. Why he has no reaction? Actually, we have to put him also under the law, isn't it? We kill small ant, we get punished for that. Krishna comes here, and after Mahabharata was standing there and laughing at the whole thing. Why is it? Why is he not punished for that? So that is why it is saying here that so many incarnations had come. In all the incarnations, nothing but killing is the whole business. And never we have heard that Krishna went to the hellish planet to suffer the misery of that, isn't it? What is the reason for that? Because while Krishna is doing this killing business, ahamda and mamada is not there. Aham mamedi, thought is not there. He is doing that. That thought is there, first thing. Isn't it? And when he is doing a good thing also, the same thought doesn't exist. This is why I am pointing out, ahamda and mamata, aham mameti, is a very powerful force that is binding us between our karma and the results that's coming from the karma. If ahamda and mamata is not there, any karma you do, it has no reaction. It has no reaction from that. That's the problem. That is why Krishna is excluded. Not for any other reason. We will say, oh no, Krishna is God, so he is excluded from this. Because he is God. No, it's not like that. As Krishna says, I'm not only God, I do things like a God does, he said. That's the way I act in this world. That's why everything has to have a logic also. It's not that because he is God, he can do what he wants, and I can't do that. That's not justified. So Krishna is saying, because ahamda and mamada is what is causing your problem, Krishna doesn't have ahamda mamada, therefore whatever he does not have any reaction from that. Does not have any reaction from that. As he said, ahamda and mamada is the one behind everything that is binding us to making this first thing, this world itself is given a complete change of its reality, and it is put in front of us. Everything you are observing here through ahamda and mamata. And that ahamda and mamata changes its color. So here. Like in us, if you look at it, if I do something wrong, bad things, I will argue strongly, I have not done this, I am not responsible for that. Isn't it? I will argue very strongly about that. And if I do something good, it's not good enough, I will beat the drum and let the whole world know I have done this. This is that ahamda mamada, how it works in us. Whereas you will never see Krishna doing this. When good things were done, bad things were done, it had no impact at all in Krishna. In Krishna. Isn't it? Once it so happened, one of the one of these pariah women who had these 12 sons, Narayana Brahman story. What happened was that he was walking. He was a personality like this in this state. He was had a lot of siddhis in him. So one person saw this and he joined him. He said, I want to be your disciple. I would like to be with you all the time, he said. Narayana Brahman, he didn't like it. He didn't want all this disciple business and all that. He said, it's all a headache because they'll come and give you all trouble otherwise. He said, so he ate food at different places. It didn't bother him. And normally in them days, not today, in them days, people won't eat like that. Impure food. Especially if they will be very particular about that. Where they ate, where it was cooked, who has cooked. They had that higher standard in their eating habits, right? So this person, Narayana Brahman, he was eating everywhere, food. So he also ate, because my guru is eating, why shouldn't I? He thought like that. Looking at both of them, they look similar, two hands, two legs, head, everything is the same thing. So, and if you cut their body, the blood is coming out. So practically there is no difference at all. When they were going together like this, in a particular place, they were casting a huge pot, bronze pot, bell metal, what they call it. You know how they do that, like a foundry they have. They'll have, there's a name in the foundry for, while making the castings. You have to make the, mold, yeah, in the mold. And then you pour into the mold everything, and it takes that form. In the liquid you pour it, and then eventually it takes after the casting is done, the casting takes the shape of the pot you want in that particular way. So they used to have a lot of this bell metal and castings, mold, a lot done before. And they consider cooking in that as much better than the aluminium and stainless steel and all that. Traditionally that is what was used even in the temples. So so they were casting a huge pot like that in a particular place. So there's a particular community who does that. And he will have his own assistants. That is how it was in those days. Not like it was not built in the factory like today. So while doing that, even when they cast the deities, instead of carving, when they cast the deities in different metals, five metals, Panchaloha Vigraham and all that, they have to be careful. And there will be one person who will be the head of that, and there will be others who will be assisting him while casting. So when they are doing that casting, they have to be very, very focused, attentive to that. And if the right time they have to pour that into the mold, and the right time, the right way they have to cool it, so that they get the right product without any blowholes in that. It's like in the foundry, very much like in the castings in the foundry, iron foundry, or steel foundry for that matter. So when they are doing it, they will be very focused while doing it, very careful while doing that. So when they were doing that, they don't want to hear anybody coming and disturbing them. So Narayan Brahman goes up to them and tells them, I want to drink something, I am very thirsty, he said. So that person got very angry for asking this. He said, if you are so thirsty, take this and drink it, he said. Which one? The molten metal. It is temperature of about 1200-1300 degrees centigrade. Well, only then it is a liquid form. Iron and other copper, zinc, tin all combined together. It's in a liquid form, melted and mixed together. And that's what turns into this bell metal later. So when he asked, he got so angry, he said, you take this and drink it, he said, because he didn't want to be disturbed at that time. First, what he did was, there was a coconut shell lying there. He didn't ask for anything further. He brought the coconut shell, picked up from the shell some part of this liquid molten metal and drank it. So then the disciple said, he told the disciple, you also have some. He told the disciple, you also have some of that. So his disciple says, oh, I can't drink that, he said. He says, then you don't come with me, he said. Don't be my disciple then. He said, don't come with me anymore. Go away, he said to him. That is why. That is why it is difficult. Drishtim tada pradanivirti nivirta trishna tushnim bhavein sukha bhavein nija sukha anubhavo niriham. So, withdrawing senses from the sense objects and turning them inwards is not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. And that is why they are telling us, Krishna is saying later in the Bhagavadam, that don't waste a lot of time on this process. It is not for everybody. It is for only for... But doesn't mean the process is wrong. Process is right. But only a selected few people can follow this through. Follow this through. Therefore, Krishna's answer and all the devotees' answer is to chant Hare Krishna. That is the solution to this. Then, if we take that approach without involving in all the complicated processes, that in this age, particularly in Kali, because we are living a life like that, that is the problem. Our lifestyle is like this. In that, to cultivate Jnana Margam is very, very difficult. Here, easiest process is chanting the holy name. Here, Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's pastimes. And in this way, slowly move up. Slowly move up. And Krishna says that those who can do this in association with the devotees in Salsangam, they are fortunate. Therefore, he says to Uddhava, Uddhava, Salsanga Dwara. You will see the word, finally, what he is saying there. That in the... because it is difficult, that is why he is saying there, that through Salsangam, try to make the progress. Try to make the progress, he is saying, that that develop a taste for bhakti and even at the end of Jnana Yogam, you will notice in all these chapters, at the end of everything, Krishna will go and bring it and tie it towards bhakti. Tie it towards bhakti. You can see that here also. That. Twelfth chapter, Krishna spoke about Salsangam. And in the 30th chapter is Jnana Yogam. Nothing but Jnana Yogam. And at the end of Jnana Yogam, immediately after that, Krishna turned on to look at that verse. After talking about all that Jnana Yogam, Krishna is saying there, 40th verse, Mam bhajandi guna sarve nirgunam nirabekshagam sukhrudam priyamalpanam samyal asangadeyo gunaham idime chinna sandeha munayasanagadeya sabhajayitva bharaya bhaktya agranada samstavai tairaham bhujada samyak samstuda paramarshibhi pratyayaya sukham dhama pashyada parameshtina. So in this one thing you will find in the Ekadasham, Krishna has spoken about jnanam, bhakti, alternatively one after the other. But everywhere at the end, Krishna brings it down and ties it down to bhakti. Not because one is superior to the other. That's not the reason. The reason is that all processes takes to Krishna at the end to realize the truth. But the reason it's spoken is due to our situation today. That is the reason. That knowing well in the age, in this particular age of Kali, people are very weak on the spiritual side. They just don't have the strength to inquire about it. They are more absorbed in the body, isn't it? And also meeting the bodily requirements. We consider it as an honor if we have to work for 10, 12 hours in a day to maintain this body. Krishna's point of view is that you are actually not a very intelligent person. That's a higher understanding. But because, and at the same time, we are unable to do so. And therefore, Krishna says, for you people in this stage, this is a better process that will work. Satsangam, Bhagavadam, holy name. This line will be easier than the process of the Jnanamargam. Jnanamargam is difficult. It is not easy. I think only once in a million will be able to get through that. That too, those who had come with previous vasanas from previous life. Otherwise, it's very difficult. After saying that, that finishes that chapter. And in the next two chapters, you will see Krishna going back to bhakti again. In the next two chapters. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Chaturdashodhyaya Uddhava Vajam Vadandi Krishna Shreyamsi Bahuni Brahmavadinam Tesham Vigalpa Pradhanyam Udaho Yegamukhyatam Bhavato Dahrida Swamin Bhakti Yogo Anabekshida Nirasya Sarvadam Sangam Yenatoya Vishen Mana Shri Bhagavanu Vajam Kalinamashta Pralaye Vaniyam Vedasam Ida Mayado Brahmane Prokta Dharmo Yasyam Madalmaga Tena Prokta Japutraya Manave Purvajayasa Tado Bhigva Deo Grihnan Saptam Brahma Maharshaya Tebhya Pidrabhyatal Putra Devadana Maguhyaka Manushya Siddhagandharva Savidhya Dharacharanaha Kin Deva Kinnaranaga Rakshakim Purushadaya Bhakvastesham Prakritayo Rajasattatamo Bhuva Yabir Bhudani Bidhyande Bhudhanam Madayasatha Yada Prakriti Sarvesham Chitrava Jasravandihi Evam Prakriti Vajitriyat Bidhyande Madayo Nranam Parambari Enakeshanjil Pakhanda Madayo Pare Manmaya Mohidadiya Purusha Purusharshabha Shreyo Vadandhyane Gandham Yada Karma Yada Ruchi Dharma Vege Yashaschanye Kamam Satyam Damam Shamam Anyevadandi Swartham Aishwaryam Tyagabhojanam Kejil Yajnadabodhanam Pradhaninemaan Yaman Adyandavandame Vesham Loka Karma Vinirm Midaham Dukodar Kastamonishta Chudranandashucharpidaham Mayarpidalpana Sabhya Nirabekshasya Sarvada Mayalpana Sukham Yatal Kutasyal Vishayalpanam Akinjanasya Dandasya Shandasya Samachedasa Maya Sandushtamanasa Sarva Sukhamaya Disham Nabharameshtyam Namahindra Dishnyam Nasarva Bhavam Narasadivatyam Na Yoga Siddhira Vinarbhavam Va Mayarpidalpe Chadimad Vinanyal Natatame Pridama Atmayonir Nashangara Naja Sangarshano Nashri Naivalma Jayada Bhavan Nirabeksham Munim Shandam Nurvairam Samadarshanam Anubrajamyaham Nityam Puyeye Tengri Renubhi Nishkinjanamayan Rekta Chedasa Shandamahando Gilajiva Valsala Kamehiran Alabdadiyo Jushandiyal Tanirabeksham Navidusukham Mama Badhyamano Bimal Bhakto Vishayaira Chidendriya Praya Pragalbhaya Bhaktya Vishayairna Bhibhuyade Yadhagni Susamardharchi Karotyadam Sibasmasal Tadamad Vishaya Bhaktya Rudhavainam Sikrilsnasham Nasadidimam Yogo Nasangyam Na Dharma Uddhavam Nasuadhyayas Tabastyago Yadha Bhaktirmam Orjita Bhaktya Ahamegaya Grahya Shraddhayalma Priyasadam Bhakti Punadiman Nishta Shobhaganabhisambhavad Dharma Satyadeyo Vedo Vidyava Tabasanvida Malbhaktya Vedamalpanam Nasamyak Prabhunatihi Katham Vinaro Maharsham Drivadachedasa Vina Vinana Ananda Shrugalaya Shuddhel Bhaktya Vinashaya Vagadgada Drivadeyasya Chittam Rudatya Vishnam Hasadikva Chicha Vilajya Ulgai Dimtradeja Malbhakti Yukto Bhunam Punati Yata Agnina Hemajalam Jahadi Matam Svanasam Bhajadeja Rubam Altma Jagarmanishayam Vidhuya Malbhakti Yogena Bhajatya Thomam Yathayad Altma Brimarjadeso Malpunya Gada Shravana Abhidani Tadatada Pashidi Vasta Sushpam Chachuridhi Thanjana Samprayuntam Vishayan Vyayadas Chittam Vishayoshu Vishajade Maman Smeradas Chittam Mayeva Praviliyade Tasmad Asadabhidhyanam Yatha Sopnamano Ratham Hituamai Samadhal Samano Malbhava Bhavidam Srinam Sri Sanginam Sangam Tetva Durada Malpavan Kshemevi Vittamasinam Chindayen Mamatandridaham Natada asimavet klesho bandhaschanya prasangada yushil sangadhyada apamso yatha talsangi sangada uddhava vasa yatha atumaravindaksha yadrisham vayadalpagam dhyaye numukshere tanme dhyanam tvam vaktumarhasi shri bhagavanu vajam samamasanamasinam samagayo yatha sugam hasta ulsangamathaya sodasagrakrade kshanaham Pranasya Shodhayan Margam Pura Kumbhare Chagai Vibarayana Vishane Abhyase Enerjide Indriya Khadya Vichinna Mongaram Gandhanadam Visor Navad Prananyo Dhirya Tatrada Puna Samveshayat Swaram Evam Pranayasam Yuktam Pranameva Samabhyasel Dashakrtva Strishavanam Masa Adarvang Jida Anila Khritpundarigamandastram Urdhuna Alamadho Mukham Dhyatordhumukam Unnidram Ashtavatram Sakarnikam Karnigayam Nesel Suryam Somagni Uttarotaram Vanimadhyasmare Drubam Amaida Dhyanamangalam Samam Prashantam Sumukham Virgachari Chaturbhujam Suchari Sundaragrivam Sukapolam Suchasmitam Samanakarna Vinyasam Spiranmagarundalam Hemambaram Khanashyamam Shrivalsa Shri Niketanam Shankachakragada Padmam Vanamala Vibhushitam Nupurervilasalpadam Kaustubhaprayabhayayutam Dimal Kirida Gadagam, Kadisutrangadayam, Sarvanga Sundaram Kridyam, Prasada Sumukhetranam, Sukumarama Vidyayal Sarvangi, Shumano, Tadha, Indriyan Indriyarte, Biomanasagrishan Mana, Buddhya Saradhina, Adhira, Pranaya and Mai Sarvada, Tal Sarva Vyabagam Jitamagrishegatradharayen, Nanya Anichandayad Bhuyam Susmidam Bhavayen Mukham, Yatatra, Lebdhabadam Jitamagrishavam Nidharayen, Tachate to Amadara Ho, Nakinjidabijindayen. Evam hi evam samahidam adi mame valpanam alpani vijashte mai sarvalpan jodur jodish samyudam dhyane netam sudirvrena yunjado yogino mana samyasya atyashunurvanam dravyajnana kriya bhramam iti shrimad bhagavate mahapurane paramahamsyam samhitayam ekadasha skande chaturdasho adhyaya sarvatra Govinda nama sankirtanam Govinda Govinda Panchadasho adhyaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Shri Bhagavanu vacham Jitendriyasya yuktasya Jitashvasasya yogina Mai dharayadascheda upadishtante siddhayaham Uddho vaja kaya dharanaya kvasil kadam siddhirachyuda Kadivasiddhaya ubruhi yoginam siddhido bhavan Shri Bhagavanu vacham Siddhaya Vashtasha Prokta, Dharana Yoga Varege, Tasa Mashtobat Pratana, Dasheva Gunahedava, Anima Mihima Murte Lekima, Pratindri, Pragamyam Shuddha Drishte, Eshu, Shakti, Prayana Mishida, Gunesha Sango Vishida, Yel Kamas Tadavasyadi, Edames De Somyam, Ashta Ulpatiya Madham, Anurmimatam Vedehesmin, Dureshravana Darshanam, Manojavam Kamarubam Paragaya Praveshanam, Suchandamurtu Devanam, Sahakridani Darshanam, Yatha Sangalpasam Siddhirajya, Pradihada Gadi Trigala Yatumadundum Parachita Dyabitnaya Agnir Kambudavishadina Pradishtambo Abarajaya Eda Shodesha Prota Yoga Dharana Siddhaya Yaya Dharanaya Syadya Dadava Sonnipodame Budu Sushmanima Tanmatram Dharayan Mana Animana Mavatnodi Tanmatrobasago Mama Mahatyatma Mahipari Yatha Samstam Mano Tadal Mahimana Mavatnodi Budanam Chaprutak Prutak Paramanu Aye Chittam Budana Mairanjain Kala Sushmartadam Yogi Lekhimanam Avapniyad Dharayan Mayaham Dattwe Manu Vaigariyam Aigariyekhilam Sarvendriyanam Altmatvam Praptim Pratnodi Manmana Mahatyatmaniya Sutre Dharayan Mayma Anasam Prakamyam Parameshtyam Ve Vindade Avyakta Janmana Vishnotra Dishure Chittam Dharayan Kala Vigrahe Sa Ishutam Avapnodi Chetra Chetra Nyachodanam Narayane Turi Ake Bhagaval Shabda Shabdide Mano Mayadhyogi Madharma Vashidamiyan Nurguni Brahmani Mai Dharin Vishadam Mana Paramananda Mapnodi Yatra Kamo Vasiyate Shedu Diva Bado Chittam Shuddhe Dharma Maye Mai Dharaye Chetadam Yadi Shadur Mirahido Nara Mayaga Shatmani Prane Manasa Khoshamuduhan Tatrobaladhua Bhutanam Hamso Vaja Shrnotyasau Chachusatsushtai Samyojam Tushtaram Abhichachushi Mam Tatra Manasa Adhyayan Vishwam Pashyadi Sushmadrikka Manomai Susamyojya Deham Tadanuva Yunam Madharananu Bhavena Tatralma Yatravaimana Yadamana Ubadaya Yadyadrubam Bubhushadi Tatad Bhavin Manorubam Madhyogam Belam Ashrayaha പരകായം വിശൻ സിദ്ധമാത്മാനം തത്ര ഭാവയേത് പിണ്ഡം ഹിത്വാ വിശേത് പ്രാണോ വായുഭൂതം ഷടം കൃവത് പാർഷ്ണ്യാവീജകുതം പ്രാണം ഹൃദുരകണ്ഠമൂർധസു ആരോപ്യ ബ്രഹ്മരന്ധ്രേണ ബ്രഹ്മനീത്വോത്സൃജേ തനും വിഹരിഷ്യൻ സുരാക്രീഡേ മത്സ്യം സത്വം വിഭാവയേത് വിമാനേനോപതിഷ്ടന്തി സത്വവത്തി സുരശ്രിയ യഥാ സങ്കല്പയേത് വിദ്യ യഥാവാ മൽപരപുമാൻ മൈ സത്യമനോയുഞ്ചം സദാ തട് സമുപാശ്നുതെ യോ വൈ മദ്ഭാവമാപന്നം ഈശുദുർവശിതു പുമാൻ കുതശ്ചിന്ന വിഹന്യത തസ്യ യാജ്ഞ യഥാ മമ മൽഭക്ത്യാശുദ്ധ സത്വസ്യ യോഗിനോ ധാരണാവിദ ത്രസ്യ ത്രൈകാലികീ ബുദ്ധിർ ജന്മ മൃത്യുപബ്രംഹിത അഗ്നിയാദിർഭിന്നഹന്യത മുനിര്യോഗമയം വപു മദ്യോഗശ്രദ്ധ ശ്രാന്തചിത്തസ്യ യാദസാമുദകം യത മദ്വിഭൂതിരഭിധ്യായൻ ശ്രീവത്സാസ്ത്രവിഭൂഷിത ധ്വജാന്തപത്രവ്യജനൈ സ ഭവേത് അപരാജിത ഉപാസകസ്യ മാമേവം യോഗധാരണയാ മുനി സിദ്ധയപൂർവകഥിത ഉപദിഷ്ടന്തി അശേഷത ജിതേന്ദ്രിയസ്യ ദാന്തസ്യ ജിതശ്വാസ്വ ആത്മനോ മുനി മദ്ധാരണാം ധാരേത കാ സ സിദ്ധി സുദുർലഭ അന്തരായാൻ വദന്തിയത യുഞ്ചതോ യോഗമുത്തമം മയാ സമ്പദ്യമാനസ്യ കാലക്ഷപണഹേതവ ജന്മ ഔഷധി തപോ മന്ത്രം യാവതീരീഹ സിദ്ധയ യോഗേന ആത്മോദിതാ സർവേ നാനീ രോഗഗതിയും പ്രചേത് സർവാസാമപി സിദ്ധീനാം ഹേതുപതിരഹം പ്രഭു അഹം യോഗസ്യ സാംഗ്യസ്യ ധർമ്മസ്യ ബ്രഹ്മവാദിനാം അഹം ആത്മാ അന്തരോ ബാഹ്യോ അനാവൃത സർവദേഹിനാം യഥാ ഭൂതാനി ഭൂതേഷു ബഹിരന്തർ സ്വയം തഥാ ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പാരമംസ്യം സംഹിതായാം ഏകാദശ സ്കന്ധേ പഞ്ചദശോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഫ്രം ദി 10th chapter onwards, Krishna started instructing directly. Have you noticed that? Other places all Krishna quoted Dattatreya Maharshi. Dattatreya Gita was there. But then after 10th chapter onwards, direct instruction started to Uddhava. You can see that. Sri Bhagavan was directly coming from there. So after the Dattatreya Gita, Dattatreya Gita with the 24 spiritual masters, all that. After that, Krishna is saying here, Bhakti, Jnanam, Karmam, three processes. And in that, more importance to Bhakti. That's how it is in the Bhagavatam. More importance to Bhakti. And even when talking about Jnana Yogam, Krishna brings it down and finally tie it down to Bhakti. And that bhakti, Krishna says, that is developed through satsangam also. He mentions it like that. And even when talked about Hamsavadaram, the appearance of Hamsam, that swan appearance, even after that, finally Krishna brought it down and tied it down to bhakti again. So everything is towards bhakti, spoken in that way. When Uddhava heard this, he asked this question. I have not really understood what you are saying. See the difficulty? Uddhava is having difficulty. So, you are saying that of all the processes, bhakti is the best process. And acharyas are saying in different ways, isn't it? In different ways. You can see. That's why you look at Uddhava's question. Vadandi Krishna Shreyamsi Bahuni Brahmavadina. Brahmavadis are saying in different ways. Why? Vadandi Krishna Shreyamsi Bahuni Brahmavadina. Tresham Vigalpa Pradhanya Mudaho Ega Mukhyada. He's saying here that this decision that Jnanam is the best process, Karmam is the best process, or Bhakti is the process. Or some people are saying, they are not even saying like that. They are saying, you should be able to sacrifice everything in life. Tyagam is the best thing to do. And some other people are saying, no, none of this is good. Austerities are more important. Some others are saying, no, not austerities. Charity. Charity is the best option. And all these are spoken by authorities, great personalities, great rishis. They have spoken this. And all of them are coming from the Vedam. That's the interesting bit. Vedam is the authority, and they are not ordinary people who are saying this. If ordinary people say, you can ignore that. But great personality, great devotees, great jnanis, great yogis, they are saying that this is the conclusion of the Vedam. And some people are saying austerities are important, some people are saying sacrificing is important, some people are saying knowledge is important, some people are saying charity is important, some people are saying truthfulness is important. Which is important? That is Uddhava's question. Uddhava is confused altogether. Isn't it? He gets in a confused state, he is asking this question. In fact, Uddhava has no confusion. Uddhava knows what is the right thing. One who has spent time with Krishna for so long cannot have any doubt about anything. All those doubts are gone. But because it's a conversation meant for the human population, which is going to come later after Krishna's departure from this world, and they require this clarity, naturally our conditioned mind will ask all these questions. It is expected, all these things. So therefore, he is saying here that keeping the authority of the Vedam, these acharyas are coming out with different conclusions in this way, isn't it? And authority is always Vedam. Authority is always Vedam. So, just like one person, he was very much into charity. He says that, in his concept I'm saying, he was saying proper charity means that you have to look after the poor people, the suffering people in this world, looking after their welfare, like opening schools, opening hospitals, and places for poor people to take shelter. And in this way, you should look after them. That is, there's no point in giving all this money, gold, everything to the temple, and trying to, that is not even anyway beneficial to the human society. The right thing to do is, the proper way of charity is to give it to the poor people. It's a very strong concept, I mean, everywhere in the world, isn't it? Looking after the poor. So, and when you hear that, naturally people will be affected by that. Does it make sense more? What's the point in handing over all this gold and cash and other things to the temple? And Krishna is sitting there as a deity there. Why does he need all these things? This question will come back to us, isn't it? And some other people are saying, kejid yajna tapo danam. Some others are saying, kejid yajna tapo danam. If you look at the verse 11 in the 14th chapter, different opinions saying, kejid yajna tapo danam pradani neyaman yaman adyanta vandam evesham loka karma vinirmidaha dukho darkam tamo nishta shudra ananda shucharpidaha. So he is saying here that this is different opinion from different people. Some other is saying all this is not necessary. Eat well, enjoy life, sleep well. It is also about authority. Vedam is the authority. Vedam says that also. There is one rishi who is propagating this, Charvakan, isn't it? So he is saying that also. So Uddhava is saying, whom should I accept? Whose authority should I accept? So somebody is saying severe austerities and severe penance. Somebody is saying charity. Somebody is saying sacrifice everything. And somebody else is saying like this also, enjoy life. Their philosophy is that if you can get good prasadam, enjoy it. Don't think about life after death and all. Why break your head on all these things? Enjoy your prasadam, and that too cooked in first class ghee. Enjoy it and eat as much as you can. Even if you get sick, don't matter. You can go find a doctor later. But enjoy it now, when you got it, prasadam. It doesn't come always in hand like that. So, that is also the authority's Vedam, that you should enjoy like this. And then, don't do any work in this world. Sleep well after that. Enjoy your life. Make it comfortable, he said. So, and some others are saying, no, you shouldn't do that. You should perform very severe austerities and penances in life. And sadhana chatushtayam, that means that cultivating the knowledge of the self. Ihamutra bhalavoga viragam, shamadamadeshal, shamam damam tidiksha uparadi shraddha samadhanam, mumukshatvam, develop all these things inside. So, then, when I am confronted with all these different options, you are coming and telling me none of them is important, bhakti is more important. You have also added one more to the list. Already I have enough in the list. Now you had added one more to that list, he says. So, why is this so much difference of opinion among the authorities? They are all non-ordinary people. Brahmavadinam, it says. Most of them are Brahman realized state. Or Brahmavadis they are. So, Krishna says to Uddhava, the mistake is this, that it is not the mistake the way I have presented the Vedam to them. It is the mistake of the people who are studying the Vedam. The way I have given the Vedam to them, it is not the mistake, it's not there. But the way they have studied the Vedam, that is where the mistake is. For example, he says, suppose there is some object, right? And in the darkness, you have put a light to see that particular object, whatever it may be. And then you have covered the whole thing with a glass, which is a green color. And you will see the object in the green color. Instead of green, if you change to a red color, you will see the same object in the red color. The color will change, is it not, depending on the color of the glass, what you have used to cover that. So, depending on what type of color you have used in your glass to look at the object, accordingly you will see the color also of the object in the same way. The object may be white color, but if the glass is red, or you are using a glass to look at it through reddish glasses, you will see the object as red. But object is not red. You are seeing it as red, isn't it? And because of the glasses you have used. Similarly, this glass what we have inside called the mind, it has got three colors. Which one? The mind. Which are the three modes of material nature. One is satugunam, one is rajogunam, other one is tamogunam. If you look at the object through satugunam, you will see in one way. If you look at the object through rajogunam, you will see in another way. And if you look at tamogunam, you will see the object in a different way. This is how different deities worship has come into existence. Because those who are worshipping, in one instance, somebody asked Prabhupada about this question. If you look at the conversation, you will see there. He said, even sometimes some of the deities worshipped in the Vedic tradition, you couldn't even consider them as worthwhile worshipping when you look at it, because of their form and in their activities and all that, and the offerings that is made to the deity. You know what Prabhupada said? That is bona fide. Why? It's coming from the Vedam. Only your glass you are changing. Due to that you are seeing that. That is why some people, they have to worship certain deities. Otherwise they won't feel satisfied. In the villages you will find this. Many, many people who have got such a strong faith in the particular form of deity. They won't be attracted if you tell them that Krishna and Vrindavanam look so beautiful like this. They haven't seen Krishna and Vrindavanam. What do they know about it? They only know that deity. They worship that deity. Their grandparents, parents, everybody worship that deity. They got attached to that worship so strongly. But Prabhupada's point was that if you have taken to any worship, it is good. You know why? Because at least you are accepting an authority above you. Instead, declaring war on everything and no authority anywhere, completely accepting the authority of the mind, he will go to hell. He cannot have any advancement spiritually. This is the point. So deity worship, when it comes to also, these differences come because of the sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. Therefore, in tamogunam, people can only worship in that form. It's not their fault. It's because of the presence of the gunam in them, that particular modes of nature in them. That is how those deity worship has started. And similarly, one who is in sattvagunam, if you expect him to worship that form in that particular process, it is not possible for him to do that because of the sattvagunam inside. So that is why he is saying here that these three colors, glasses, sattvagunam, rajogunam and tamogunam, is the one what we use covering the mind. And when those people who have commented on this, on the Vedam, when they are looking at it through the sattvagunam, they comment on the Vedam in the sattvic form. In the sattvic form, they comment on that. And yajñadana tapodanaadi, at that time, they also glorify sacrifices, charity, austerities, penances, everything. That is happens through them in the same way. Now, if somebody is completely in the mode of ignorance, tamoguna pradhani, they are looking at the Vedam through tamogunam, but authority is still Vedam. That's important thing. Authority is still Vedam. And when they come and use the Vedam for their worship, they will bring in alcohol, slaughtering animals and things like that. They will bring into that. They will bring into that. And that is why you can see in some instances, you saw when Jadabharata had to face Bhadragali, their worship was offering human body sacrifices, isn't it? And certain worship like that. You may think that how did this come into Bhagavadam? Such a thing like that. Bhagavadam is considered to be the literature for the Paramahamsas. And there it is spoken about Narabali, cutting the throat of a human body and offering that. Why is it accepted? It is accepted because it is in the Vedam. It is not the mistake of the Vedam. You have to always remember that. The mistake is with the persons who are doing it, has got tamogunam in them, and therefore they are at fault, not Krishna at fault. That's important principle. Everything in the Vedam is, the message is very, is there. But because these three modes of material nature is present in everybody, even among the great personalities, the way they are looking at Vedam varies from one to another. And they will come up with different conclusions. Like you can see that the even among the asuras, demons also accept the authority of the Vedam. Pulasya, from whom all the asura race comes, rakshasas come from there. There Ravana followed that, isn't it? Ravana accepts the authority of the Vedam. That's good thing about Ravana, at least. He accepts the authority of the Vedam. And he is saying that in his tradition, whatever process is all, therefore Ravana, although he is a Brahmana, he enjoyed all the nice things in this world, isn't it? In his own way, he enjoyed them. So, very principle is this, that this sattva, why all this is spoken is to make us aware that these three modes of nature is not easy to get rid of. It is there in everything, it is there in the mind, it is there in the intelligence, it's there in the body, and with all these things, we are saying we are outside Maya. How can that be? How is that possible? So he's saying here, so authority is there for everything, and who created this authority? That they tamoguna pradhani. Who is in tamogunam, they made the Vedam as an authority and interpreted it in that way. So for them also Vedam is authority. But it's no point in just saying Vedam is the authority. But according to one's modes of nature and the intelligence, he has to understand Vedam, he says. And according to their intelligence and understanding, they are commenting in that way. And so, in this way, due to the their impurity in their intelligence, means absence of sattvagunam in there, therefore, these various commentaries have come. Various explanations of the Vedam has come to this world, he says here. That is what he's saying there. If you look at that, 8th verse, Evam Prakriti Vaichitriyad, in the 14th verse, chapter, 8th verse, Evam Prakriti Vaichitriyad, Vidyande Matayo Mranam,
പാരമ്പര്യേണ കേശാഞ്ചിൽ പാഖണ്ഡമഥയോ അപരേ, പാഖണ്ഡമഥയോ അപരേ. ആൻഡ് ദിസ് യു ക്യാൻ സീ അനദർ ഇൻട്രസ്റ്റിംഗ് തിങ് ഹിയർ, ദിസ് ഇസ് മോർ ഇൻട്രസ്റ്റിംഗ് ദൻ എനിത്തിങ് എൽസ്. സോ എ ഗ്രേറ്റ് പേഴ്സണാലിറ്റി കംസ്, ഹി സ്പീക്സ് ഫ്രം ദ ശാസ്ത്രം, റൈറ്റ്, സംതിങ്. ഹി സേസ് വൺ തിങ്. What he said is not what the disciple will understand. No. We had enough experience of that. What he has said, that's not what the disciple will understand. Because that disciple will understand according to his modes of nature and his intelligence level. So, Guru must have spoken in the sattvic mode. He must have come from the sattvagunam and he has spoken from the sattvic level. If the disciple's mind is in the rajasic mode, in the mode of passion, then that is what will appear in his mind. Guru might have spoken in the sattvic mode. The rajasic disciple, because of the rajogunam presence inside, will receive that message in a completely different way. And he will give an interpretation to that. And they will say, GBC has decided like this. Is that the authority? Is that what we follow in life? Founder has said something, somebody else has interpreted something, and that becomes the authority. And then if it goes like that for a few generations, what will happen? The founder who instituted the original message, it will get converted into such a length, he himself will be frightened to come back, seeing the followers, what they have done to his mission. So, Guru has done this, the disciple has... By the first disciple itself, this will happen because he is in Rajasam, he is not in Satyagam. Guru may have spoken in Satyagam, the one who is in Rajasam would have received the message in the Rajasic mode. And so that is what will come. With that itself, the commentary has changed. Commentary has changed along with that. Then, so... What the disciple will speak will not be the same thing what the guru has spoken. Now, after that, his disciple comes, the third generation. When that third generation comes, what will happen? It will change again. Because if that disciple is in another mode, isn't it? It will change again. So, this story about Appaya Dikshitar is very famous. Appaya Dikshitar was a highly learned scholar, right? He goes to Benares to bathe in Ganga River. It's a well-known example and very open about it. That, and it was an auspicious day, some Amavasya day or something, some auspicious day he went to bathe in Ganga River. Appaya Dikshitar at that time was known for his scholarly and devotee and knowledge, everything in all level. Very well-known personality. So, a lot of people noticed this, that he was going to bathe in Ganga River. They also thought that we will join him and to bathe in the river. So, when he was going to bathe, he had a different concept, isn't it? He had his dhoti all folded nicely and kept it with him, and the water pot. These were the two things. So, when he got there, and when he looked around, there was nobody else whom he could hand it over. And you know in India, when if you leave it like that, it will be gone by the time you come back. So, things will be gone. So, what he did was, he, in the sand, he dug a hole in the stand, a pit-like thing, and put the dhoti and the other things inside and covered it with that. So that, and put a stick on top of that as a mark. And he went to bathe in the river. And so that when he comes back, he knows where he has left it, isn't it? And he went to bathe in the river. Some others noticed this, what he was doing. So, one person says to the other, look, did you see, you know who that has gone there to bathe? It's Appaya Dikshitar. He says, you know who he is. Everybody knew about him, isn't it? Highly learned person, right? And did you see what he has done? Did you notice that what he has done? That he brought his water pot with him and he dug the hole, put the pot inside that, covered it with that, and he put a stick on top of that and he went to bathe there. And if you only do like that, your bathing in Ganga River will be beneficial to you. Otherwise, it won't work, he said. So, it is necessary. So, the other person says, I don't have a water pot. Just go and get one. You can get it from the market. Go and get from the market, he said. So, he says, I don't know anything about these things. He says, don't worry about it. I have made arrangements. Somebody is selling water pots there. A business has come up there to sell water pots there. And so you get one from that. So by now what has happened? The second person has become the disciple. The first one who is instructing him has become the acharya. This is how the whole thing business starts. The guru-disciple business starts like that. Isn't it? Bring it quickly, he said. So he brought that. And then he, exactly like the way Appaya Dikshitar did, he dug a hole, put the pot inside, covered it, and top of that he put a stick on, and then he went to bathe in the river. And then this acharya is saying to this disciple, you just can't bathe like that. You must have some sankalpam while bathing in the river. You should have know what you are bathing for, and there should be a underlying principle, he said. So, and I will tell you a verse. You should chant this verse. And while chanting the verse, you can bathe in the river. And only thing is, after that bathing is concerned, you have to do some dakshina. Give the dakshina for that, he says. And I will tell you, teach you the verse. You learn the verse. You chant the verse, bathe in the river. And then give me the dakshina, and then you can take your water pot and then go away from here. So now what happened? He became the acharya, the other one became the disciple, isn't it? So another person was watching all these things, what was going on. So he thought himself that, he says, it's not good enough, he said. You have to do like the way Appaya Dikshitar has done. He says to him, then go and bring the water pot, he says. And he brought that. So this new person also, who had come with him, is, I would also like to get some benefit from bathing in Ganga River, he says to him. But I don't have the money to buy a copper pot. Water pot is normally copper. But he says, don't worry, yatha shakti mahabhalam, yatha bhalam. Says, how much have you got? Like we say, isn't it? How much have you got? He says, I've got enough money to buy earthen pot. He says, that's enough. You buy it. This mantra for that to chant. We can change everything. He said, so few people have gone out and brought a earthen pot and brought it with him. And only thing is, he says, that I'll tell you everything, but ultimately you have to give the dakshina properly. Then everything will be okay. So he says, I didn't have any money for that even, to give any dakshina, he says. He says, so the acharya says to him, don't worry about that. If you don't have the money, I'll give you the sankalpam. And then even if you give me a few pieces of grass, dry grass, even that is enough, he says. So, and in this way, from Appaya Dikshitar, whatever he thought and he bathed in the river, how many has followed him? In course, one person. How many has followed him? And how many interpretations have come from that? All spiritual life is like that. Everywhere. Whether it is in Ishkan or whether it is in another place, it no matter, everywhere this is the same thing what happens. Originally, whatever the founder has spoken, it will get changed and changed and changed for various generations, various authorities will spring up in the middle. They will all interpret according to their modes of nature. And what you will see at the end is a combination of all the modes of nature's mixture. That's what you eventually get as the result. And you have to filter out from this what the truth is. So how difficult it is. You can imagine from that. That is why this famous verse that was come that from this Appaya Dikshitar's example is spoken in the many valuable texts. Also it is spoken there that ultimately he said, well, if you don't have the money to buy earthen pot, don't worry about it, but give the dakshina. Then he said, I don't have a stick to put it on the top. He says, don't worry about it. All you have to do is the dakshina. Go and bathe, come back and give the dakshina, he said. That's why it says, gadanu gadigyo loka na loka paramarthita shiva dharobarana iva ashtamme tamrabhajanam. This verse is an explanation of this whole story what we have spoken. And so how message can change in our life? That is what Krishna is saying there. So you have to put some thoughts into this and look at the world through your own power of thought and analyze yourself and come to your own conclusions.
Just following authority doesn't mean anything. Unless you understand that what you are following. It's a madness otherwise. We'll discuss it Saturday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada.